Glastonbury Radio. Radio. The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30 plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15 plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
Dick, have fun quail hunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show. Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum, making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed on...
dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
My God, where has time gone? We're back. It's a week gone by and another 3 hours of Now That's Weird coming at you live from Glastonbury with me, Hemsworth, at the helm through till midnight UK time. Wherever you are in the world, it may be different time-wise, but hey, it's 9 o'clock in England. Well, about 6 minutes past, actually, because we have to allow for all our sponsors, sorry, our syndicates, to run their sponsor bumpers and their ads and their news and whatever. So a lot of people write in and say, how come it always takes you 6 minutes to get on air every hour? What goes on there? You know, do you go out and have a crap or something? No, I don't. It's amazing how many emails we get on that subject. That's what it is. We have to allow for the sponsors to get their bits and pieces done first. I can say sponsors, sorry, the syndicates. I'm not with it tonight. It's Friday. Hey, two shows in a day, too much. I have to do this Feel Good Friday thing, you know, at lunchtime. And even if you don't feel good, you've got to do a Feel Good Friday show. I'll tell you, that can be a bit of a struggle at times. Now, let's get up to date with the news. You may have heard this week, I'm putting together a rock concert, a benefit gig for Gary McKinnon, to try and bring public awareness to this unfair extradition treaty. We're trying to get this thing sorted out and get it turned around. And as you know, we've been pretty active this end. Well, today, around about 2 o'clock this afternoon, I had a conversation with the keyboard player from top legendary rock band Marillion, who have confirmed they want to play on the benefit gig. They're fully supportive of the Gary McKinnon thing at the moment, and they want to get behind it. So it looks like it's going to happen, folks. So keep an eye on the website for details. Now, I can also tell you on the Gary McKinnon thing that there's a protest outside the American Embassy on Thursday the 27th of November at 4 p.m. if you want to go along. Now, the idea is apparently the outgoing president does have the right to drop charges against somebody on his last day of office. And what the protest is about is to try and ask President Bush before he leaves office to see if he will release the extradition clause against Gary McKinnon. So we're all going to get behind that, and hopefully you, the listeners, will as well. And if you want to drop a letter to the White House, you can do so via the White House website. If you type in White House government search on Google, you'll find the address on there. Go to the website and you can email the president directly from the website. And before he leaves office and hands over to the new guy, you can ask him if he can actually drop the charges against Gary McKinnon. And I think that's what we all want to hear. There you go, that's that. Now, what else have we got to tell you about? Usually at this point of the evening, I have a whole list of things to go through, but not much has been happening this week. We haven't heard too much about more UFOs this week. It's all gone fairly quiet. The weather's crap, and I'm not going to bore you with that. So I think we might as well just get straight on to the business at hand. Let me tell you who's on the show tonight. In hour three, we've got Stephen Harefield, who's an intuitive, courtesy of the Edgar Cayce Academy, going to be talking to us. In hour two, we've got our regular psychic, Elizabeth Back. She's going to be doing some more ESP and telepathy tests with you, the audience. And can Graham Robertson keep up his 100% track record of getting it right every single week? He does seem to be right on the ball with these tests. And as I said last week on the programme, we're going to bring the two of them together and see if we can conduct some tests on camera. I think that'd be really exciting. And let me tell you a little about our first guest this evening. Tell you what, I can't get my words out tonight. Must be Friday. Drumblow is the author of four books, including The Ancient Secrets of the Flower of Life, Volumes 1 and 2, living in the heart of his newest one, Serpent of Light. These books have been published in 29 languages and reach out to over 100 countries throughout the world. Drumblow Melchizedek also founded the Flower of Life workshops with over 300 trained and certified facilitators teaching in over 60 countries. He is a consultant for the international internet magazine Spirit of Mar. I think it's called Mar, M-A-A-T. We'll ask him about that in just a moment. And it's spiritofmar.com, which is M-A-T-T.com. Over 1 million viewers each year. Drumblow is a worldwide traveller and has given workshops, seminars and lectures on sacred geometry, human energy field, spirituality, meditation and living in the heart in 45 countries. His meditation with the angels and his work with prana and energy healing has helped tens of thousands of people. Drumblow has expressed that healing in these areas are of extreme importance, for the difficulties with one's own body often stops us from continuing on our own spiritual path. His research on the third dimension with natural products and methods to help heal Mother Earth and all life forms is also a major focus in his life. You can find out more at drunvalo.net. That's D-R-U-N-V-A-L-O. So without further ado, let's go right over to Sedona in Arizona right now. He's hopefully on the end of the phone. Drumblow, good evening.
Good evening, Ross.
Now, I have to say, when I was first drawn to your website, it was by somebody that told me you were a prophet. And apparently quite a few people call you that now.
I don't look at myself that way. Most of the prophecy that comes out of my mouth is really from different indigenous tribes that I work with. It's what they say, not really what I say, and people kind of just attribute it to me, but it isn't.
So tell me, looking at your background, you know, you were sitting there going for the big degree, and all of a sudden you just stopped and seemed to have taken a complete slant in the direction of your life. Tell us what happened.
You mean in college?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there I came back from Vietnam, and I discovered that life wasn't what I was told it was, and I decided to search into physics and find out what life was about, and before I got almost through it, I realized that these guys don't know either. And so I changed, and I went over to fine art. I graduated in fine arts and painting. But that didn't, of course, do it either for me, and then I began to search in spirituality. And that searching has really never ended to this moment.
Now, when was the turning point in your life where you decided that you're going to follow one particular path? Because many of us go down the route of looking at all the different churches, looking into spirituality, looking into every single aspect, going on this sort of search for the thing that appeals to us, I suppose.
Well, I was studying Hinduism at that time. And I had a teacher, and we were doing mantras. And right in the middle of this, with my wife and I, these two spheres of light came right through the walls and right into the room. They were about the size of basketballs or whatever, about that big. And one was bright green, and one was bright, kind of an ultraviolet. And they talked to us, both of us. It was almost as it came in our heads, but exactly the same thing. And they said, we are not separate from you, we are you, on another level of existence. And from that moment on, my life has never been the same. They began to lead me, they would actually give me the name, address, and phone number of teachers that I'd never even heard of. I call them up, and that's who it is, and I would go and study with them. And this continued on for a very long time. I was led to over 70 different teachers with probably just about every major spirituality or religion in the world, and it was like going to college on another level, only this inner guidance was leading me, and it's been quite a journey.
Well, I think a lot of people all over the world, Drumbelow, are going through the same journey now. A lot are going in different directions, and I always say in my teachings when I go out and lecture at conferences that everybody has a piece of the jigsaw, and bit by bit we build that jigsaw over our life. But it seems to me that in the last year or so, everything's speeded up as if there's some sort of urgency in these teachings now.
Well, I think they are. My work with the indigenous people has become very interesting to me as an individual and to my family and everything, the people I work with. I'm now connected directly with the head of the Mayan nation and the Mayan council, which is 440 elders. And so I'm listening to them and what they have to say, and the Hopi Council, and the Kogi, the Awakos, the Wiwasnik, and Guamos out of Colombia, and those guys. I actually believe that the Kogi are the most highest enlightened beings. And there's also New Zealand, the Maori, and the Waitaha, and then in Australia, the Aboriginals, and then in Africa, it's the Zulu tribe. And these people have been my mentors in all of this. And they're all saying the same thing, exactly the same thing.
Now, this is the interesting thing, because if I'm just... Sorry to butt in there, but exactly on that point, we've been having this discussion on the show now for some time about the Mayan predictions of 2012, but it's not just the Mayans, is it? It's indigenous races from around the world that are predicting the same period and the same kind of ascension.
Yeah, it is around. Well, in fact, the Mayans, the head of the Mayans and the head of the Hopi have come together and shared their prophecy, and they have now said that it's identical. There's no difference at all. Basically, it's the same thing. There are little differences when you start moving around the world, but the idea, the understanding is very similar. You remember that comet that came through, Comet Holmes?
Yep.
In October? Well, for the indigenous people, that was a big deal. Now, for astronomy, it was a big deal, too, because when that comet blew up and turned into a big ball of blue light, which rapidly grew into an object larger than the sun, that was predicted by the Hopi 200 years before, precisely. and what it meant for them and what it's meant for all the Native Americans in Northern America and for the Mayans is that it is the day that we enter what the Mayans call the end of time. So we have entered into this period of time called the end of time on October 24th of 2007. And what the Mayans are now saying is that we have about 7 years and maybe on the outside 8 years from that date before this cycle change that they're speaking about will be complete. And in that cycle change is a lot of things. It's tied to the precession of the equinoxes, which most of us are aware of. That's the date of December 21st, 2012. And that's when, at that moment, is when the axis of the Earth begins to rotate toward the center of the galaxy and a new cycle begins. And the Mayans are predicting that, well, first of all, the old cycle, that the last half of that cycle, which is about 13,000 years, that cycle, even in the Hindu and the Tibetan understandings and their traditions, it was male. It was governed by the male energy of the planet. And then as we enter in after that day of December 21st, 2012, we enter into the female part of the cycle for the next 13,000 years. And so we're just beginning to see that happen. We saw in Argentina a female president, in Chile a female president, in Germany a female president. We almost had one here. But what they're saying is that the females are going to slowly become the guiding light, and they will lead us out of this darkness that we're in now. And it will be the women of the world that will do this, along with children. Interesting.
Well, I just hope we don't get another Margaret Thatcher over here, Drumbler.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying it's all perfect.
Absolutely not. Now, let's just look at the whole 2012 thing, because as you said, 7 to 8 years from 2007 doesn't actually finish on December the 21st, 2012. Now, a lot of people have a misunderstanding about the date, so let's just look at that again.
Okay, first of all, the date December 21st, 2012 has nothing to do with the Mayans. Now, that's probably shocking to a lot of people. But it doesn't. It was Jose Aguelas, a good friend, a good guy. But he didn't know. There were a lot of things he didn't know. He thought that when he was studying the work out of the Yucatan with the Mayans there, that what they held, the information they held, was complete. But it wasn't. It was hidden up in the mountains of Guatemala, where the old ones are. And there were still five different books, you might call them, that were not known. One of those books was called the Book of the Insects and the Fixed Stars, and that book is the only one that can be used to determine the beginning and ending of cycles.
Okay, let's hold you there, because we need to go to an ad break. Hold that thought, because I want to come back on this point in just a moment. My guest is Drumbelow Melchizedek. If you've got any questions for Drumbelow, get them in now. It's the usual address, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after these words.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Whether your interest be in music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist's paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834 141.
Are you planning a party or event? From a simple disco to a village fete, from an intimate garden party to a large outdoor event, Batmink Hire can supply professional, affordable sound and lighting for any occasion. With an extensive range of event equipment, including staging and dance floors, available to hire by the day or week, Batmink Hire are the event equipment hire specialist. Telephone Glastonbury 01458 833186. That's 01458 833186, or visit the hire section at batmink.co.uk.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's Gauntlet Man, a real-life Glastonbury radio hero. A time traveller from another dimension challenges you, the public, to walk through the street through time, soaking up the atmosphere, whilst admiring the history and architecture from this double-winning spectacular. Come to the Gauntlet Glastonbury and observe the incredible variety that lies within this unique shopping thoroughfare. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, through till midnight. My guest in hour one, Drumvalo Melchizedek. And hopefully the old mouth will start working in a moment. First few moments of the show tonight, couldn't string a sentence together. I don't know. Must be the time of the year or something. Blame it on the weather, that's me. So, questions in, usual address please, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, Drumvalo, just before the break, we were talking there about the real meaning of 2012 and the predictions. If I could get you to pick up where you left off.
Well, okay. Part of this cycle, this precession of the equinoxes that most people have tied to the Mayan calendar, we must understand that the Mayan calendar is actually based on a completely different cycle. And I'm going to let them, I'll let the Mayans speak about this, because they are about to write a book. They're in the process of writing the book. And the book is going to be exactly around 2012 and this whole end of time period, not only what they expect to happen, but what they say is more important is how we are to be within ourselves during this time. And so they're writing this book now. It'll come out either next year or in early 2010. I'm not sure yet. Remember, there's two halves of this cycle. We talked about the male half and the female half. Mm. And the old cycle, what they say, and it also goes into Tibet and India, they say the same thing, is that what happens is that the old cycle completely crashes. So everything that we have built up, our financial systems, our governments, and all this stuff, they expect this to just completely dissolve. But it is replaced with something. We're not just left in chaos. Chaos does ensue, according to them, but followed directly and during the process on in is this new female cycle, and where we begin to remember who we really are and what this is really all about, that we are much greater than technology. We have within us connections to all life everywhere, and this is part of what they talk about, is how the rest of life, once we go past a certain point, which they say is next year, that the ETs and the people that are watching at what's going on here right now, we begin to connect with them in physical form. But the first people, what they are clear about, and especially down in the region of New Zealand and Australia, is that the first people we connect with is not just anybody. It's actually our mother and our father. And it's the one who created our race. This idea goes all the way back to the Sumerians 6,000 years ago. This was written down and talked about. But they all agree on this, that the father aspect of us came from the star Sirius, and the mother aspect of us came from a planet that is now called Planet X, or it's the Nephilim, the Nibiru, or Marduk is what it's often called. And that planet has been discovered by NASA. It's real. It actually exists. They've mapped it. They know when it's coming through. There's a lot on the Internet saying it's coming through any day, but the original NASA readings say it'll be over 500 years from now. But the people from that planet and the people from the star Sirius, according to our ancient writings and according to the living indigenous people right now, these are the ones that actually created the human race, and that they're coming back. Mm. And they will be here, and they will be here very soon.
Now, there's been a lot of talk on the forums, Drumblow, about aliens. There was a prediction recently on October the 14th that a big star lightship was going to appear over the southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
There's been lots of different talk about this alien contact. The one thing that's remained steady throughout is the constant and increasing number of sightings, as if something is going to happen. And I think the world's sort of standing on the edge waiting for something, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, I just got out of a sweat lodge here about 2 months ago with about 15, 20 people, stepped outside, and there was a ship over the top of us that was about 3 or 4 football lengths in size, and it just stood there for over 10 minutes. We're getting used to this stuff, but this is different. What they're saying now is, what the Mayans are saying, is that we will not make contact with ETs physically, really, and the world knows it, until there's a certain ceremony that takes place.
Mm.
And that ceremony is in the Mayan calendar, and it happens on April 19th, 2009. And it extends until April 28th, 2009, at which point the Mayans are bringing in tribes from all over the world. There's going to be at least 100 tribes there. And they have decided that it has to take place in the Four Corners area of the United States. I think it has to do with the relationship they have with the Hopi. And that ceremony is called the Return of Our Ancestors. That's what it's called.
Hmm.
And then later that year, there are other tribes that are stating that our actual ancestors, those that created us, who they say are already here right now, and have been for over 10 years, been sitting here communicating with these indigenous tribes, that on a date later in 2009 and into 2010, we will make physical contact. But the contact will be with our mother and father first, not with just anybody.
So this, just check this date again. You say April 19th, 2009, is that right?
April 18th, 2009, through April 28th. And the people that are hearing this, they can go on a website called www.ica8.org, and there they can see it's a nonprofit that's been set up by the Mayans to coordinate all of this stuff. And if they want to be there and actually see this historic ceremony take place, they can do it.
Okay, just give us that website address again.
It's ica eight.org. O-R-G.
Okay, because I know I'm going to have all sorts of people writing in saying, can I give that website address again? So I've written it down this time, just in case.
Well, and that is the organization that the Mayans have chosen to coordinate all of these kinds of things for them that are outside of their Mexico, Belize, or Guatemala.
Now, I've got to say, there's a lot of different people saying much the same thing, but in different ways at the moment. And I think a lot of people are getting confused by the teachings that are out there. Now, I've just set up a website, 12canchangetheworld.org, which I'm running with Phyllis Schlemmer and Professors JJ and Desiree Hertak and a few others, with the idea of setting up groups of 12 around the world to help start to make these changes. Now, a lot of people have come to me, I've had messages, I suppose you would say, from spirit, from something, telling me to move forward on certain things like opening portals and all sorts of weird things. I've had crystal skulls delivered to me and weird stuff that sort of 5 years ago I just thought I was going nuts, you know. Something I know is happening, but how do we know who to believe? Because let's take, for instance, the Nephilim. There's one crowd saying to us that the Nephilim are our ancestors, they're coming here to save us and to take us forward in the ascension. There's another crowd who will tell us they are, in fact, the Illuminati. They're the people that are coming here to enslave us. You know, it's all going to be bad. You know, who do we believe?
They're both correct. Although I wouldn't call them the Illuminati. There is a relationship. First of all, these people are between 10 and 16 feet high, and they're not, they don't, wouldn't look like human beings. But the Nephilim are written down in the oldest writings on Earth, and if you go into any old Bible, when you go into Genesis and where it says there were giants in the land at that time, it doesn't say that. It says the Nephilim were in the land at that time because they were giants. And if you read the history through of what the Sumerians were saying about how we were created, the Nephilim were not necessarily the good guys. They created us from a part of our race and part of their race to create a workforce for them to mine gold. And they have found gold mines going back in Africa, the very place where they said they did it, going back 80,000 years ago, up as near, as close as 20,000 years ago, where you have human bones in gold mines in there, mining for and who they were doing it for was the Nephilim. And so the Nephilim originally decided that what they were going to do was just use us and then eliminate us after they didn't need us anymore. And then it goes back into the whole story of Noah and the Ark, and when there was a change that was made, and this was talked about again 6,000 years ago, not in New Age time, and where they changed their mind, and they have allowed us to grow, and whether or not their full intent on us to stay alive, or for if they have bad intentions toward us, that I don't know if anybody really knows that for sure. I don't know that for sure.
This is always the problem, isn't it? Because we're sort of sitting here doing the whole love and light thing, and there's a lot of us doing it. You know, we're putting the message out the right way, and we could actually be encouraging and inviting in something that's, you know, potentially dangerous.
Well, first of all, they're so far advanced that we couldn't stop them anyway. So, I mean, it hardly matters. I mean, the Syrians are more advanced than the Nephilim. They are light years advanced over the Nephilim. Nephilim are not much more advanced than us. In 6,000 years ago, when they were talking about this, they were using rocket ships to get from their planet to here. Literally rockets. And that's as you know, that's what we're using right now. And the kinds of motors that are used in most starships are not anything like that at all. They run on consciousness, not on fuel of any kind whatsoever, usually. And so...
Well, I think, you know, just looking at the whole issue in front of us, I think we have to make some decisions and go with what I call my gut instinct. And I know a lot of other people would say the same. But, I mean, if we take... there was one astronaut, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, quite recently, who allegedly encountered an 8 or 9 foot being in the space station.
Yeah, it's very possible. I really can't get into my experience with all these things right now, but I have been directly in front of them and have touched them, and it's not a matter of whether they're real or not. I know they are. And if you go into Russia, I mean, that government doesn't try to hide this. They have had many encounters with UFOs and with the people inside. There's a lot of people here. There's, from the best our count, there's over 250,000 cultures that are around the Earth at this moment.
Why do you think it is? Because I've heard the same thing with Russia, that they're more open than people believe them to be, but because of the propaganda put out by the West, we see them as the big enemy. But why do you think it is that the West, in particular America and the UK, are withholding all this information when there's so much evidence out there?
I don't know. The United States has got a problem. It really needs to open. I we'll see what happens with Obama. Maybe a real change will take place here. But for a long time, they have just done everything they can to suppress this information. And even though there's, you know, if it had been anything else, any other subject, the amount of evidence would have been overwhelming. But the big problem is that there's never been any sustained contact, and according to the Mayans, there can't be until a certain date. It's just been basically outlawed until we have to reach a certain level of consciousness before they can contact us. And we have come a long way. I mean, the things you're talking about here in this program right now, could you have talked about this 30 years ago?
No way. No
way. They would have thrown you off. They would have not even... You couldn't have even done it. We are different. We have come a long way, and I mean we, I mean the whole planet. We have come up a long ways, and we are now approaching a threshold, as the Mayans talk about, that we are almost there. And they say that after April 28th, when this ceremony is over with, we will be in a new level of existence, and we will be able to make these kind of changes, and the at which point we will be able to contact and communicate with them on a global level where the world will be able to know.
Mm.
And so I don't. This is what they say, and we'll have to see. I'm a spiritualist, but I'm also a scientist at the same time.
Well, this is the thing that intrigues me when reading through your website, is you walked away from physics, you majored in physics, but you walked away from it because you realized that you didn't actually like the idea of where science was going.
Well, I found out that I was able to prove beyond any doubt mathematically that they were wrong in a major thing, and their reaction to it was to, instead of starting over, they wanted to just hide it.
Hmm.
And now I've found there's lots and lots and lots of things that we have done in physics that are just simply wrong. Gravity, for one, the idea that two objects will fall in a vacuum at the same rate. We've been told that everywhere, right? But that's not true. That's only a very specific case. And this has been proven by many of the universities now, and nobody knows what to do. It is true as long as they're not moving. But if one of them is spinning and the other one isn't, they don't fall at the same rate. Here, one of the experiments in a vacuum chamber that's over 200 feet long, that when you drop them, the one that's spinning will hit the ground about 6 feet earlier.
Mm.
So they're not even close. Well, the problem is everything's spinning. The electrons are spinning around the atoms. The Earth is spinning around, is spinning itself, and spinning around the sun, which is also spinning. And the galaxies are spinning, and everything is moving in a rotational pattern. And so when we try to apply the laws of gravity to our, which is one of the basic building blocks of physics, it distorts everything because it isn't true.
Mm.
And so we have to change things. Now, Russia has just discovered a new, they actually discovered it almost 20 years ago and kept it secret until just now. But they have discovered what gravity actually is, and this is going to change the world. It's going to change your world. Everybody's listening to this. Every person on the Earth is going to be completely changed by what's about to happen, and in a very good way. They've discovered that the gravity field is alive and conscious.
Hmm.
This is the first time that physics has crossed over into spiritual concepts. But it's fact. They've been able to demonstrate it, that the biosphere of the Earth, of all living things on the Earth, that if you change that, you can change the gravity field, or if you change the gravity field, you change the consciousness field.
Mm.
And from there...
That's an amazing breakthrough.
And from there, they've been able to discover many, many, many new things. One of them is that through pure mathematics, they can determine where every single atom in the universe is at any one moment. This is incredible.
It is, absolutely. Well, we need to take a break there, so let me just stop you at that point. We're going to have some emails when we come back, because there's a few questions coming in for you now. Keep those emails coming in, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back with Drumbelo in just a moment. And I've got to say, he's absolutely right. If you remember me saying on this program a little while back that I went out to Laughlin, Nevada this year and put forward 5 points in my talk where I believed I was right and science said I was wrong. And certainly by the time I spoke in Laughlin, Nevada, science had agreed I was right in the first place. Now, why is it that people like Drumbelo, people like myself, can go out and say these things and not be taken that seriously by the world, and yet a scientist can get up there and be taken totally seriously, when we all know science can be wrong, has been wrong, and will continue to be wrong? We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been
known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? For you and your family's well-being first, prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. The magic and mystery of the Crystal Skulls, brought to life in an amazing new divination and healing deck by White Elk Woman. The Crystal Skull Message Cards, a box of 39 beautiful and inspiring cards with guidebook. Buy the Crystal Skull Message Cards online or find your nearest stockist by visiting crystalskullcards.com. A wonderful way to let the wisdom of the Crystal Skulls touch your heart and soul. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio hero. Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant. With your interest being music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St. John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834 141. The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by many well-known people, including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centres, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale or tanning and therapy centres with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See the connections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
Zoinks, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Yes, welcome back. Still to come on tonight's show, we've got Stephen Harefield, who's an intuitive of the Edgar Cayce organisation, or institute, is it called, I think. And, of course, psychic Elizabeth joining us in hour two. So a very spiritual sort of feel to the show tonight. And in the first hour, we're talking to Drumvalo Melchizedek. His website is drumvalo.net, drunvalo.net. Do check it out. There's a lot of really good information on there. Now, Drumvalo, let's just quickly go to the emails, if we may. And one that's come in straight away from Mike Philbin in Oxford says, wait a moment, we're that important to these visiting alien races? Why? Why would a place like this be so important to some universal narrative? Does it go back to the genetic exchange where cancer was real important to transformation that we find in Octavia Butler's Exogenesis trilogy? What do you make of that?
It's a little more complex than that. We are important. In fact, we have become the most important speck of dust in the universe. And exactly why this has happened, that's really complex, though we know it would take a long time to even begin to explain it. But there's a when we talk about cycles of the precession of equinoxes, or we talk about the cycles of that the Mayans are basing everything on, there is another cycle ending at this time that hardly anyone is talking about, and it is the longest cycle in existence, the beginning and end of creation. We are actually about to move from here into another octave of creations, and this one is about to no longer exist. And as we move into the next level, we have to pass through it's a space. It's a dimensional level that where nothing can exist in it except for spirit. You can't bring anything physical through it whatsoever into the next octave, and then we will begin again on another level. This is Melchizedek's teachings. They go back a long time. But the thing is that just to make a real simple version of this, as things have unfolded over the last couple hundred thousand years, something has happened with this particular race we call human that has never, ever been seen before. And we can't, and that's anywhere in existence. And we can't tell from that it's happening from where we are because we're inside of the box and we can't see what's going on. And but evolution is occurring very rapidly within our race at this moment. And this rapid evolutionary race or expansion is something that no one has ever been seen. And what they now know, or they believe anyway, is that humankind is about to make a transformation that is extraordinary. It would be almost like a baby that is about 15 minutes old suddenly become an adult in 20 minutes. Mm. It just has never been seen before, and they're convinced that we're going to do this. And because if this is truly going to happen, what they think it is, it's going to affect all life everywhere.
It's got to, hasn't it? Without a doubt.
Well, and that's why they're here watching what's going on, because they're trying to understand this change that's going on within us that no one has ever seen before.
If they can't understand it, we're in trouble then.
Well, they can't. There's nothing that they know that can explain it.
No, exactly.
So well, it originated, they know where it came from, they know how it started, and they know who did it. But they don't know, they've just never seen it.
Okay, let's go back to the emails. I've got one here from Jed in New Jersey, who asked the question that I think a lot of people are talking about actually in the chat room at the moment here on the Now That's Weird website, and that is, where can we find the specifics on this breakthrough of gravity? Is there any papers we can read online to find out how they came to this conclusion?
This was kept secret by the Russian government for when Russia, they actually discovered this before the Berlin Wall went down. And then when everything started breaking apart in Russia, the National Academy of Sciences in Moscow and the people connected to them, which included a German also, they hid this work until about 5 or 6 years ago. And then they brought it out. And now, through Germany and not through Russia, they are about to allow this technology to emerge on Earth. And it is happening as we speak right now. It is going to take place. First of all, they have no choice. The world really has no choice. That certain governments are not going to want this to take place because in terms of communication and being able to communicate, you can communicate any amount, does not matter how much volume of data it goes through. It only matters your receiving and sending a device, whatever computer you have, in zero time across any distance. So this is fact. You could send something 16 billion light years, and it's instant, no time.
Mm.
And they've already demonstrated this to 500 scientists in Germany, where they put a computer in Germany and one on an island out somewhere. I think it was off Spain. And were able, over 40 times, transmit data from one computer to another without any electromagnetic fields involved whatsoever. Nothing, only gravity. You connect to the gravity, and then the other end picks up from the gravity. The thing is, though, is that no one can get in the middle. It's not possible. And so it means absolute and complete privacy in all communications.
Now, it's strange, because I said earlier on in the show, Graham Robertson is one of our regular listeners here in Glastonbury, almost every week has been getting the ESP telepathy project right. Now, let me explain this to you, John Blow. We have a psychic in North Wales, and she, every week, comes on the show, she draws a small picture in her house, she tells nobody, not even me, what it is she's doing, and she channels it out into the ether. Now, every week, all the listeners of the show, they all write in trying to guess what it is. Some get it right some weeks, not others. He has been getting it 100% right every week. Now, I know there's no physical contact between these people. They don't know each other. They don't contact each other.
It's easy. Every person is capable of it. I just sat for a couple weeks high in the mountains, 12,000 feet up in Colombia with the Kogi. The Kogi are able to speak to each other and talk through just like watching on a screen with if you're just looking over a computer screen, exactly the same, only much more advanced levels if you're capable of it. And they can talk to each other anywhere in those mountains, and they demonstrated it to me and showed me it's really easy. Our bodies are always talking to each other, and we have an electromagnetic grid around the planet that the United States discovered in 1950, and we have a new one for the new consciousness that's coming out that the Russians discovered in the 60s. And it is through that grid that communication takes place, if it's global. There literally is a physical component to this. Not only when we call psychic, there has been determined a physical component of exactly how this works.
Mm.
And we all can do this. The moment that we understand this relationship, which according to the Mayans is going to take place in the next 2 or 3 years, we will all be telepathic. We'll be able to talk to each other and see each other anytime we want.
Well, this leads nicely onto the next email, actually, because this one comes from Sharon in Glasgow, and she says, a lot of people are talking about 2012 and the raising consciousness, but what is the end result? What will we be able to do then that we can't do now?
Well, besides the kind of things that we're talking about now, really a lot. If you want to accept what the Tibetans and Hindus and many of the indigenous people are saying, the outer world, which, you know, of the stars and planets and our cities and buildings and everything else like that, we think from where we are now that it's real. We think it's really there. But they say that it's not really there. That is actually a projection from and it's exactly how this projection moves and how it moves through the body and everything else. But it is not real. It is just consciousness.
Mm.
It's just awareness out there. And once we understand that what is out there is actually within us, and exactly how it is within us, it's a remembering process. This is not something we have to learn. This is only something we have to remember, because we are all masters at this, and we know it. We've just had a little bump on our head, and we've kind of forgotten some things. But once we remember what that is out there, we are able to change it into anything we want. We can bring everything back into balance. But in the remembering of that, you also realize and remember that there's only one spirit moving through everything. There's only one source of life. And so the ideas of ego, of thinking only for yourself, just don't make sense anymore. That those ideas, the ego begins to dissolve. And so what we're about to go through, if everybody is correct in this, is not just a little change in human consciousness, a really huge one. And the end result is something that I don't know if I can actually describe it, because it also includes another dimensional level where as soon as we get to that level, we move up from this to another level of dimensions. And everything changes. The earth appears different. The colors are different. The way that we perceive it is different. And what we think it is different. But it's all timed. It's like DNA unfolding. We don't really have to do anything. We don't have to go anywhere. It's all being given to us in grace. It's all going to happen naturally.
It's amazing. Okay, let's go back to the emails. Stardust says, I'd just like to say hi to Ross, Penny, the cat, and your fascinating guest. Thank you, Stardust. Ross, can you please tell Elizabeth to wait another week and keep this guy on for another hour? Says Pam in Alaska. There you go. They're liking you out there, Drumbelow. They like what you have to say.
I love people.
Let's go on to the next one. This one's from Danny, who's in London in England. And he said, this is fascinating stuff, and I'm intrigued by it. But what advice can your guest give to us, the general public, for what we need to do to help this thing move through?
Well, in terms of the changes that are coming, you don't have to worry about anything in terms of like digging a hole and putting food and guns in the ground. It is not with a capital letters and underlined. It's not going to help you. It's an internal process. Meditation, understanding who we really are, this is what it's about. And to be very specific, right now, what happened 13,000 years ago, we fell from a very high level and to where we are now, to polarity consciousness, where we see everything as black and white or good and bad. And uh, the prior to that time, and what is about to happen to us, is we're going to go out of polarity consciousness back into a certain form of unity consciousness, where we don't see that polarity anymore. And the process of doing that is that we have to leave our brain. We're focused up, most people, not everybody, but most people are focused in their pineal gland, in that region, or in the pineal chakra in the center of the head. And we have to physically move from our brain back to the source. And the source is not in your brain, it's in your heart. Mm. And I can actually show you why the heart is more important than the brain scientifically. If you look at conception, we begin as a sphere, which is the ovum. And then the sperm comes in and causes mitosis to begin, and it divides from 1 to 2, then it goes to 2 to 4, and when it does, it forms a tetrahedron. It goes to 4 to 8, forms a star tetrahedron. It continues through geometrical until it gets to 512 cells, and it forms something that looks like an apple, which is a toroidal field. And then that keeps growing, and what it becomes, and every single person that's listening to this, at one point, you were simply nothing but a heart. That was the only thing we were. We had no arms and legs, no brain, no liver, no nothing. We were just a heart. And then out of that heart, after it started beating and everything else, because it was Stanford who discovered that there's actually a brain inside of the heart, a small one, 40,000 cells, and it started beating, and it became, that was our creation. We were just a heart. And then our body emerged out of that, and the body and the heart was tucked inside the chest. And so you can see intuitively that the heart is more important and older and primal than the brain. Mm. And that's all ascension is. A lot of people talk about ascension where we get into spaceships and fly away, or we go into a ball of light and disappear, and we go into other dimensions and a lot of other things. But on a real simple level, it's just simply we're moving from our brain back to our heart.
John Blow, it's been absolutely amazing. I'm going to have to stop you there because we've run out of time. But I hope you'll come back and join us on the program again real soon, because there's so much more I'd like to talk to you about.
Okay, just have to ask me.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. Thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day. I know you just got back from a long trip, and we will speak again, I'm sure, very, very soon.
All right, thank you, Ross. Thank
Take
you.
Care now. Thank you. Bye-bye. There you go. What an interesting guy. Drunvalo Melchizedek. That website again, Drunvalo, D-R-U-N, Finelli, V-A-L-O, drunvalo.net. Check it out. Some amazing information on there. Okay, still to come in hour two, we've got Psychic Elizabeth with more ESP and telepathy tests. Let's see if some of you can pick Graham Robertson to the answer tonight and find out what it is she's channeling out into the ether. Now, I know that she always prepares for this before the show, so even though I don't know what it is and I haven't got her on the phone yet, I know she will already be channeling this out, so you can start sending me your answers, what you think it is right now. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And then we're going over in hour three back to America to talk to Stephen Harefield, who's an intuitive of the Edgar Cayce Institute. It's going to be interesting. A lot of Casey's predictions, as you know, bang on the ball. He predicted many, many things, including, I believe, World War II and various others. So it's going to be interesting to talk to Stephen in hour three. Keep those emails coming in. Usual address, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And we'll be back after the break.
Friday night.
This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
Get ready to be spooked. It's Ross Hemsworth talking paranormal on Now That's Weird.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
One, two, three, four.
beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, weird indeed. Now, you know, on this show, I never ever criticize the guests. My job here is to not do the BBC thing and give them a hard time on the show or whatever. My job here is to let the guests talk, say what they have to say, and then let you, the audience, decide on what you think. And Now That's Weird has been going now for over 3 years doing exactly that. And every now and again we get a new listener or an old listener that'll come on and criticize us for doing that. And 9 times out of 10 I just explain that, well, this is the way we do the show. It's not meant as a criticism. It's meant purely to get people to be able to get their messages out. And you can decide. I mean, you're all bright enough out there to know if someone's spouting a load of bull or not. I don't need to educate you or tell you in that degree. But I want to read out this email from someone called Peter Torsen. Because I think that this sometimes sums up the way that people really do get the wrong end of the stick. It says, "Hi Ross, all I hear from this guy is more unsubstantiated gibberish. Yes, science can be wrong, but it can be proved either way, but dubious so-called evidence like it is in hidden Russian files or some ancient primitive people knew this. That's not evidence, just more inane statements to sell more books. I wish I could get into that gig and not work for a living. Makes me mad, people like this making money from gullible fools." Well, Peter, can I just bring to your attention that Drumvalo never once in that hour said he had any books out. He never once in that hour said he had any DVDs out. He spent half of his life living with these indigenous peoples, learning their teachings, learning what evidence they've got, and he's purely putting across to us what he learnt. How dare you come on here and say something like that? I cannot believe that, Peter. I really can't. We do this show to try and put the information out there that's important to the people. And I think it's essential that people get that message across. And I'm actually quite angry at this. Now, everyone's entitled to an opinion, and you know that. I very rarely ever have a go at any listener or guest on this show. But where do you get the idea this guy is just there selling his books and DVDs? Never once in that hour did he mention anything about it. I have had guests on here before who have plugged and plugged, and I usually stop them. I say, okay, all right, we know you've got a book out, that's it. This guy did not mention any books or DVDs, Peter. Where's your gripe? And moving on, one here from Middle says, "Buddha. Says that between the heart and the mind, the brain mind, is where one can find the divine. Your first guest reminded me of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and their advice was don't panic and keep one's towels handy." Middle, absolutely spot on. And interesting stuff. Now, keep those emails coming in, and I don't want you to think that, you know, if you send an email in criticising, I'm going to rip you apart, because that's not what we do on this show, as I've said before. But I just think that's an unjust criticism for someone to be ribbing into someone who's trying to just make money out of books and DVDs. Now, I've seen nothing yet on Drumvalo's site, and I must admit I've been through it quite thoroughly. I've seen nothing here yet that I can find where he's promoting DVDs and books. There's his biography, there's his up-and-coming events, there's his workshops he's doing, a lot of which he's done as voluntary work. He spent a lot of his own money travelling around and spending time with these indigenous people, and he's bringing this evidence to the fore. So I really can't see that criticism being just, and therefore I'm going to stand up and say so. Now, I want to say just one other thing quickly before we move on to my next guest, and that is that Gary McKinnon's got a couple of songs out. One's called Only a Fool, and the other one is Wanton Child. Now, these two songs were doing extremely well in the MySpace charts until MySpace decided to take them down because they felt that it was connected to a political activist. Now, at the same time, we hear YouTube have also taken down a whole series of conspiracy videos. What is going on? Are we being clamped yet again? Your views, please. Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, without further ado, let's go over to North Wales. Our regular psychic's on the line. It's Elizabeth. Good evening, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. You don't often hear me having a go at people, but I just felt that that was an unjust email.
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah. I think people, though, today, very often, you know, generally, don't think before they react or maybe write, you know, but I think it's about we all need to calm down a little and stop and think before we answer something or react to something. You know,
absolutely.
More thought.
Well, we all know there are charlatans out there. I've said on the program many times there's a lot of people that are very spiritual in Glastonbury, as long as you pay them £60 an hour. So I'm the first one to say when someone's out there on the take, but never once during that hour did that guy mention he'd got a book out or a DVD out. That's what upset me. You know, this person is ripping into this fella as if he's in it purely for the money, when he's got no justification of that from anything that happened in hour one of the programme tonight.
No, and maybe the email reads as it reads, but maybe there's an underlying issue there. Who knows? You know, maybe, I forget the gentleman's name now that wrote in, but maybe he's got some other pressures or worries this evening, and he just sort of rented his anger, you know, by responding like that. But it's unkind and unnecessary.
Absolutely.
You put it right.
Well, Peter, it's nothing personal. As I say, I've had a go purely because you've had a go in your email. We've had a go back, so I'll have a beer with you now. I'm like that. Once I've got it out of my system, that's fine. But I'd like to know what the other listeners think as well on that. Am I wrong? Am I right to say what I said there? Ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, for those of you that haven't heard Elizabeth before, each week the first thing she does is she channels out into the ether a drawing that she's been working on throughout the day prior to the show. Now, I don't know what it is. Nobody else knows what it is. And she's going to tell you now how you can tune into the wavelength, pick up and tell us what you think it is. Elizabeth, over to you.
Okay, for all those new listeners this evening, I don't know how many there are out there, but for all the new ones particularly anyway, the key to this exercise is just to feel relaxed. So relax, sit back, do what you do to relax, have a drink, have a cigarette or whatever. Listen to the show, don't think about this experiment, perhaps we could call it, at all. But do have a pen or pencil handy, and if you feel the need to jot down anything over the next hour, make a note of it and get it through to Ross at the studio then.
Okay. Well, as I always say to listeners at this point, what I do is while Elizabeth's talking, I close my eyes or look at the computer, and sometimes I get an image come into my mind. Now, I'm going to put my one forward first tonight, because there was a time where I couldn't do this, because I was getting it right on a fairly regular basis. So I got told off by listeners for putting the idea out. But I saw a hammer and sickle. Like, you know, a drawing within a circle. So that came through quite clearly to me, so I'm going to put that to you now. And Elizabeth will tell us in about 45 minutes, 44 minutes, whether I'm right or wrong. So
okay.
There we go.
Right.
Now, the first thing I want to talk about tonight is that Drumblow was talking about a development in Russia, which apparently is going to be released. It's a scientific project which has proven that science had gravity wrong. Now, what he's saying, and the chat room is full of this tonight, all the listeners talking about it at nowthatsweird.co.uk in the chat room, is this could be a life-changing thing, because what he's saying is gravity is, in fact, a living consciousness, something that's around us, that is a living being in its own right, so to speak, and is a way of transmitting. Now, for many, many weeks, in fact, best part of 3 years now, you've been coming on this program doing this ESP and telepathy test, which we've been keeping the notes of, with a fair amount of success with certain people. Do you think that science has now proven what it is that you've been saying for ages, that people can transmit etherically?
Well, I certainly hope so. I'd avidly wait to see the reports and so on and so forth. Extremely interesting subject matter. Yeah, I think it's not just me that's been saying that. Let's be honest. Everyone who has a sort of spiritual bend or leans towards spirituality, I think, knows that the air around us, let's call it air, or the space around us, is not just space. It is about being sort of absorbed, really. We're all human beings, in my belief pattern, are absorbed by a consciousness. And that energy then works with us. Works against us sometimes if we don't treat it with respect, but works with us for the large part and helps us to exist. And I think, you know, the issue about doing these experiments is to find out if there's anyone out there that is picking up on the thoughts. I mean, the more, the happier we'd be, obviously. But I think it's wonderful even to have one right, because we know, I don't know if the listeners, the gentleman that wrote in prior that you were just talking about presumably doesn't believe a word I'm saying, so, and I can't prove to him that I don't tell anyone what I've drawn during the day, but, you know, hand on heart, that's what happens. So I think it's intriguing that even once it's guessed at, let's say, you know? But I do think, I think it's wonderful. If science has proven that the consciousness around us is living and it's not just an issue of space and matter, then, wow, we're moving forward.
Well, exactly. And I suppose on a positive note, what Peter's done is he's brought a debate out into the open that we're now discussing and looking into.
Yes.
Now, I remember one particular show where I had a guy on from a ghost hunting company in Pennsylvania, in Gettysburg. Mm. And we had about 40 minutes of him doing nothing but plug his ghost tour and plug his book. He really wouldn't talk about anything else.
Right.
Now, to that point, I ended up stopping him and saying, look, we're not going to talk any more about your book. That's it. You know, you're not on here just to sell your book. We don't mind plugging it, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only, in 3 years, that's the only time I've ever had to do that with a guest.
Well, maybe your guests are chosen wisely, or maybe they come to you through another element other than you ringing people up or inviting people. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
If you take this thesis, if we can call it that for a moment, and actually say that we believe that the air around us and the matter between us is a living consciousness, then the interaction between us beings and other beings on other levels has got to interact within that consciousness. So maybe it's the consciousness around us that has guided you towards some really nice guests, like me, for example.
There you go. Well, I mean, it's like with Drumblow. I've been trying to get Drumblow on the program for almost 2 years. Someone mm-hmm. Brought him to my attention years ago as being someone that they actually referred to as a prophet.
Right.
And we'd written God knows how many emails and nothing had happened. And obviously the time wasn't right, because I suddenly wrote an email a few weeks ago, got an email straight back, yes, here's a date, you know. So perhaps it is about timing.
Well, you know me, I think it's more than timing. I think it's more than we can understand at the moment, you know. And if we let our minds think more laterally, it's about, yes, timing we can call it, but it's timing on a number of levels, and it's about the ether being comfortable with what's going to happen, and almost, how can I put it, giving us permission to do the things and to be successful and to be happy and so on and so forth. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
We've got to be so careful to interact very delicately with it.
Yep. Right, now let me just remind you, it's ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, the email address tonight, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. If you think you know what it is that Elizabeth is channeling out into the ether tonight, we'd like to hear about it. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about the concept of evil, and Elizabeth would like to know what the listeners think on the matter of evil. Does it exist? If so, in what form? So get your emails in now to me. Do you think evil actually exists? Do you think it's in the imagination? If it does exist, what form does it take? ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back talking some more with Elizabeth right after this.
The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero. Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant. With your interest being music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834 141. Are you planning a party or event? From a simple disco to a village fete, from an intimate garden party to a large outdoor event, Batmink Hire can supply professional, affordable sound and lighting for any occasion. With an extensive range of event equipment, including staging and dance floors, available to hire by the day or week, Batmink Hire are the event equipment hire specialist. Telephone Glastonbury 01458 833 186. That's 01458 833 186. Or visit the hire section at batmink.co.uk.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's Gauntlet Man, a real-life Glastonbury Radio Hero. A time traveller from another dimension challenges you, the public, to walk through the street through time, soaking up the atmosphere, whilst admiring the history and architecture from this double-winning spectacular. Come to the Gauntlet Glastonbury and observe the incredible variety that lies within this unique shopping thoroughfare.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Oh, it sort of beat me there. I wasn't expecting it to come back in that quick. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. We're in hour two, and we're live tonight through till midnight UK time with listeners all over the world. People listening tonight in Australia. Well, I suppose it'll be the morning out there. In America, in Canada, in Alaska, in Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Europe, right across Europe, in fact. We've got listeners in Spain, Portugal, Germany. In fact, I think Peter Torsen, who wrote in earlier, was from Germany. And all I can say, Peter, is, hey, and we've got a football match next week. Let's sort it all out on the pitch, mate. What was it, 5-0 last time, wasn't it? 5-1? Ooh, it's going to start a political debate on football now. England versus Germany, a friendly, of course, next week. So looking forward to that. And don't forget, it's Carnival in Glastonbury this weekend. Now, if you've never been down to Glastonbury and you can get here tomorrow, it's a real spectacle. It's like Mardi Gras. It's not like one of these normal town carnivals you see around England. This thing is all, it's like light ships from another planet. You've never seen anything like it. They spend thousands of pounds on these floats every year, and it's just the most marvellous spectacle. So if you can get to Glastonbury tomorrow, it all kicks off around 6 p.m, although all the festivities start a lot earlier. It's going to be a great day. Do try and get down and see us. It's a wonderful one. Now, we asked you before the break about evil. What is your feeling about evil? Does it exist? If so, in what form? Now, I've gone on to the chat room here, and people are already talking about it. And Conspiracy 2012 says, evil is an interesting one because most things are relative to the temporal and cultural space that acts are judged in. Elizabeth, what's your take on evil?
Well, I can say that I think I've faced an evil entity some years ago. And I must admit, although I live my life to the best I can, being positive and giving out positive energy most of the time, that experience has left me slightly jaded, let's say. So, short answer is, I totally believe in evil, and I actually also believe that it's possible for evil entities to move from one plane to another and to come into our plane of living, yeah?
Mm.
I mean, the experience I had was something sort of came mostly at night, visit me, controlled me. I couldn't move, couldn't see, couldn't do anything. Just, and would laugh. All I heard was the laughter, and I knew I was being controlled. And it really, really did put the fear of God into me. And that took place over a space of about 3 to 6 months, believe it or not, after which I had a mental breakdown of sorts. But haven't seen it since. But must say, walking outside a fish and chip shop about 2 months ago, just down a little street, turned around, and I think this comment's probably something to do with the living consciousness as well, because turned around and saw the face of a person who I felt was looking at me, and they had the face of, well, it's horrible, like a vampire, but it sort of went out of focus and then changed back into an ordinary everyday face. So, what do the listeners make of that? I could be mad. I think we're all mad to one degree or another, but I'm pretty sane now, and I was saying when I saw that vampire face, so I'd like to have their comments on that, really.
Well, there was an interesting new series that started last night. I don't know whether you saw it on television. It was with the guy that plays Judge John Deed.
I did, indeed.
And it was called Apparitions, I believe.
Yes, it was.
Now, this looked at evil and about possession, and I thought it actually dealt with it in a very, very unusual but very good manner.
Yes, so did I. I thought it was quite good standard of programmes compared to a lot you see on that subject matter.
Absolutely. Well, I've programmed it in for next week already. I was quite taken by it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very well done. It was well laid out. The artistic work was good. But the content was very good, and I thought it was rather sympathetic towards both sides. Because you've got one side obviously saying there's no such thing, and then the other side, being the church in this instance, saying, well, there is such a thing, and we actually work to keep it away from everyday folks, you know. So I'd be interesting. I wonder if somebody listening out there this evening has had a similar experience to mine, even if it's not as bad, you know. But have they sort of put it towards the back of their mind, or maybe if they think about it, you know, and they'd like to share that with us, I think that would be really interesting.
Absolutely. And if you saw the programme Apparitions last night, let me know what you think of it. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And we've got a couple of emails in. The first one is from Conspiracy 2012, and I'd already read that out from the chat room, but thanks for sending that in. And I shot myself in the foot there, because I keep telling them, if you've got something to say, put it on an email, and then what do? I read it out from the bloody chat room. There you go. Next one comes in from someone who calls himself D-Notice. That's interesting. The Conversation with God books say DEVIL, D-E-V-I-L, stands for denying everything valuable in life. Evil is the word live backwards, so evil is anything that opposes life, regards D-Notice. Well, that's interesting, because I've got someone doing reverse speech in a couple of weeks' time here on the programme, so that's going to be an interesting one to check out. But what do you make of that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, obviously, I'd go much deeper into it than that. And I think, you know, it's always the way in this life of ours, isn't it, that you can comment and write and read about issues and you give them as much attention as you want and you digest that. But I think you can't really talk about something unless you've walked the path.
Mm.
And that's why I was interested, really, to see if anybody out there would like to share. I'm sure I'm not the only person walking this earth that's come across an evil entity that they couldn't get rid of, you know?
Absolutely. Well, keep those thoughts coming in on evil. We're going to move on to the next subject. We will come back to this if you email in on it. The concept of evil. What do you think? Does it exist? If so, in what form? Now, the next talking point I've got with you tonight is recent TV programmes. And we were talking just now about apparitions.
Mm-hmm.
And recent programmes are highlighting quite often the areas of mental health problems.
Mm.
Now, you'd like to ask the listeners whether they feel that some mental health issues could be attributed to psychic issues, i.e. science versus psychic abilities.
Yeah, I would, yeah. And I think that, first of all, I think applaud any TV programme that puts out serious programmes about mental health problems, highlighting the fact that there are many, many people across the world that suffer with mental health issues. But the point of discussion for tonight is, okay, so you suffer with mental health problems, but do you really? You know, I happen to know very well a number of people that have been labelled as mentally ill and have been on quite heavy drug therapy for a number of years, which obviously all drugs have their bad side effects, and some of them have their good. But I met a psychiatrist not long ago, and we were talking about the issue of seeing things and hearing voices. I mean, schizophrenia obviously has that, and there's varying degrees of schizophrenia. And other people may just have paranoia or can't go out or OCD or manic depression or be a schizoid, which I've looked into in depth because I was trying to self-diagnose. Apparently there's a depressing schizoid and there's a happy schizoid. And obviously the balance one tries to achieve is somewhere in the middle. But I wondered, you know, what the audience felt about mental health issues. It's something I don't think people talk about generally because they may be ashamed of it. But I wonder whether, like the psychiatrist said to me, in some cultures hearing voices and seeing things is a blessing and it's not a mental health issue, you know?
Mm.
And he was trained in London, but he was obviously from a different and Eastern culture. And I just thought, you know, to highlight it is good. And if anybody has any thoughts on that, please get in touch. You know, I'd love to hear them.
Okay, well, I'd like to add to that as well, because if we look at things like Asperger's and ADHD,
yeah.
A lot of people say that these forms of autism are part of the indigo breed,
yes.
The new breed of children.
Yes.
Now, Gary McKinnon was diagnosed with Asperger's,
mm-hmm.
And is it possible that he's in fact not got a mental health problem? He's just one of the new generation of curious children. And all right, he's not a kid, but, you know, he's got into something very much on the lines of an Asperger's sufferer, how they would do it. If you look at films like The Rain Man,
yes.
You know, it's a compulsive thing. You have to know. There's no ifs and maybes. There's no grey area.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest daughter, Leanne, who I've spoken about on the show before, she needs black or white. She can't have grey. If she
mm-hmm.
says to me, can I go out tonight, Dad?
Mm-hmm.
If I say no, I get the normal teenage rebellion. If I say yes, then, you know, I'm God's gift. But if
mm-hmm.
I say maybe, it's like the world's ended. She
yeah.
cannot tolerate the maybe. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
something else the listeners might like to comment on.
Yeah, interesting thought, you know. And I think maybe if we move towards, I don't know how much money there is, particularly in the UK at the moment, it's a sad time, but to invest or, you know, into to a scientific approach towards mental health issues. I think it's all too easy, really, to give people drugs and say, now go away and be good. Those drugs do have a detrimental effect on the long-term health of people that take them, and I know that firsthand, you know.
Well, let me just say to the listeners, if there's any listeners out there that are putting their kids on Ritalin, beware, I'm going to send the boys round.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous drug. Just don't do it, people. Yeah. Really, don't do it.
No, that's true. So you get my point, don't you?
Absolutely.
But I think if they were to think of it in a different way, maybe, and come to terms with their experiences, they wouldn't need the drug therapy.
No, exactly right. Okay, let's quickly go back to the emails. Jacqueline says, could you tell me what TV channel that programme you were talking about is on? And it is BBC One. It's called Apparitions, and it's on a Thursday night. I think it's 9 o'clock, isn't it?
9 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. You can set your sky up now, Jacqueline. One here from Pam in Alaska, one of our regular listeners. She said, I believe that we create evil. And straight away, as I said that, it jumped off my screen. Hold on a second. I believe that we create evil in any for what we want or need or purpose, for our purpose. Sorry, I can't get this right. It doesn't read right. I think it's the way that I've got it up on my screen here. I've had evil sent to me by others for their reasons, anger and stuff. I try not to do it in return. I'm also not sure if people are totally aware that they do it. And that's, as I say, from Pam in Alaska. And I think that's true. I think to a degree we do create evil around us, don't we? And not always necessarily on purpose.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you know, once again, going back to the living consciousness, yes, everything we give out comes back. And some of the stuff we don't give out comes to us from other people. I totally agree, Pam, that some people send negative issues towards you and they don't know they're doing it. Others will leech off you and suck your lifeblood and they don't know they're doing that either. I call those vampires. So, yeah, it's about how we live and how we work our life on a daily basis. But I'm talking about the profound evil that not everyday thing, but is something that materializes, and you just you know you've been hit, sort of been hit, run over by a lorry, you know.
Well, here you go. Someone who's branching out. You'll get that little pun in a moment. Says, hi, Ross and Elizabeth. I've been trying the tips Elizabeth gave me last week about relaxing and reference ESP tests. I've had trees appearing in my mind. See?
Who?
Branching out. Keep up the great work. Many thanks. And that's from Prism.
Hi, Prism. Thank you. I'm glad you've listened. Good grief. That's very, very nice to hear.
There you go. Let's see if he's right. Yeah. Now, Mike, let's have a look here. Sorry, it's jumping all over the place again tonight. What happens here, just let me explain, listeners. Your email's going to Penny, and Penny sends them across on a little message box to me on screen. But if she happens to send the next one through while I'm reading this one, it jumps up off the screen and the next one comes up. So if I suddenly go doolally, you know why. This one says, can one definition of evil be the way society uses taxes, religion and psychology science to restrict the human experience? And did Elizabeth see the news that mental health or vivid hallucinations can be caused by the eye going blind? Define normal. Mike.
Yeah, I did see the news, and yes, I agree, it can be. It is about how we work through our daily lives in society as individuals and then groups. And I must admit, of late, I'm ashamed to be part of the society that I live within, in a general term, i.e. the UK, you know? But yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Okay, next one comes in, and can I just ask all listeners, please put either your name or your alias on the chat room on your emails, because this one comes through with no name given, so I don't know who it's from. It just said, it is not whether evil exists, more what it wants.
That's an interesting one. And I actually can go with that. I totally, totally agree. I think there's a battle going on, and I think there's been a battle going on between the evil, if you like, and the good, or the obverse, you know, since time began. And it continues and will continue. When it will stop, I've got no idea what's going to happen, but I do think that's very true.
Well, someone said something to me the other day on MySpace. I get quite a lot of comments telling me that I'm cut out or meant for something big or something special, and I keep getting these emails from all over the world, and I keep saying I'm just an ordinary bloke. I'm not meant for anything. You know, my job, I think, is to put the airwaves out there for people to talk and openly discuss this stuff. I think that's my purpose. But this particular person said, no, you're meant for something big. So I jokingly said, yeah, I know what it is now. It's come through to me. I'm going to be the wrapping around the posts of the ring in which God and the devil do their final battle. I'm going to be the padding on the corners. That's my purpose in life. That's what I'm here for.
Well, you could be right. I don't know.
Well, maybe in a different formal way. I don't know. But, no, you know, people keep telling me this sort of stuff. And sometimes it freaks me out because you think, well, what am I supposed to be here for? Because I'm buggered if I know, you know. But my life does appear to be sort of on hold at the moment. And I keep saying to Penny, it's almost as if I know something big is about to happen around me and affecting me. And I know it's going to happen soon. But there's nothing I'm allowed to do or can do in the interim. It's like all roads are barred. All roads are blocked, you know, and it can be bloody frustrating.
Have you thought that maybe it's a test? It's a test of your patience.
What patience? I haven't got any.
Well, get some.
Yeah, I think you could be right, actually. Who knows? Who knows? I take most things tongue-in-cheek, you know what I'm like, but, you know.
Well, I'm deadly serious, actually.
Yeah, perhaps I'll go and get some. Right, now, let's just carry on TV programmes, because the next point you've put on the discussion sheet here, and this is quite interesting, is again on TV programmes, but this time such as Medium and Ghost Whisperer. And how do the listeners react to these? Do they believe psychic experiences are all the same as in these programmes, i.e. seeing things in dreams, helping ghosts to move forward to the light because they are lost, or need to give a message to someone before they can move on? So, listeners, what do you think? Is it true? Is that... Because I like watching Medium. I've never watch Ghost Whisperer, so I can't comment on that. But I enjoy Medium, but it's not the way it always happens, is it?
No, it's not the way it happens for me, and I raised this issue because we were just watching a copy of Medium the other evening, and my husband turned to me and said, do you see ghosts like that? And I said, no. And he, that's the first time he's ever asked me, actually. But I said, no, they don't sort of come in dreams. I see them as I would see you or, you know, somebody solid. And that led me to think, I wonder what other psychics or other people's experiences have been like. Because if you don't, I don't band together with other psychics, or I don't go to a little psychic club, you know. So I don't discuss experiences with others. So I just wondered, there's got to be people out there listening tonight that maybe have had some experience, seen something they couldn't explain, and maybe thought, oh, is it? No, you know. Or maybe they've had dreams and premonitions. I think probably the answer is, but we'll wait to see if somebody gets in touch, that as all people are different, then all people have different psychic experiences, you know. Mine are very profound, and I sometimes have trouble distinguishing what the ghost is and what the real person is, you know.
Absolutely.
But I've had to work on that, obviously, through my life, you know.
I think that is the difficulty, you know, because we don't always know what it is we're experiencing at any one time. Now, just going back to the chat room here, Prism says, that sounds like me, Ross. I, too, have been feeling I've been stuck in one place in my life for a long time now and seem to be waiting for something. I think a lot of people are, Elizabeth, aren't they? They're just waiting. They're almost on hold.
If you talk to people generally, once again, the listeners should really get in touch and say whether they feel the same. People I know personally have said they feel frustrated and as though time's slowing and nothing's happening, nothing's moving. But I think, you know, it's a little bit of like the lull before the storm.
Exactly. Well, Pam in Alaska agrees as well. We need to take a break. If you're having the same thing, let us know. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after these words.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero. The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant. In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. the magic and mystery of the Crystal Skulls, brought to life in an amazing new divination and healing deck by White Elk Woman. The Crystal Skull Message Cards, a box of 39 beautiful and inspiring cards with guidebook. Buy the Crystal Skull Message Cards online or find your nearest stockist by visiting crystalskullcards.com. A wonderful way to let the wisdom of the Crystal Skulls touch your heart and soul. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Whether your interest be in music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St. John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834141.
The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands with articles and columns by many well-known people including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centres, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale or tanning and therapy centres with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Old Ozzy does get excited when he listens to the show, you know. Oh, yes. Now, if you missed it earlier, I'm putting together a benefit concert for Gary McKinnon to try and bring public awareness to this unfair extradition treaty. At the moment, it allows British citizens to be thrown out to America just when America clicked their fingers. And this is nothing against the American citizens. We've got a lot of American listeners, and a lot of them I know agree with this and feel very much on side. What it is, the extradition treaty means that they can call for any of us without any trial, without any proof of guilt, and we have to ship them on a plane and send them over. But if an American citizen does the same here, and we want them, they have to go through trial first, be found guilty, before we can extradite them. Now, that's one-sided, it's unfair, and we're putting together a concert to try and bring it to public awareness. And Marillion have already said today they want to take part, and we're now in conversations with a lot of other people, including Bob Geldof and various others, U2, the Rolling Stones, all sorts. It looks like it's going to come off and be really big. So keep your fingers crossed for that one. Keep an eye on the website for details. And we'll do what we can to try and get this extradition treaty turned around. I can tell you that since the last show, I've actually had an email from David Cameron, the leader of the Conservative Party, who says that he too is now behind a review of the extradition treaty, as are most of the Conservative front bench. So we are making leeway. We just hope we make leeway quick enough before he's deported. And don't forget, it's not just Gary McKinnon. This is the important part about this. There are two others as well waiting on list to go. In fact, one is a couple and a single guy. The couple apparently was selling chemicals, legal chemicals, on their website. Somebody decided to use one of these chemicals for making crystal meth in America. That was enough for the Americans to declare they wanted them extradited, and the UK government said yes, sir. And then somebody else was selling electronics on their website, just normal electronical parts for computers, whatever, electronic parts, should I say. And somebody used a piece of part of this electronics to make a bomb. Therefore, this guy is now also being extradited as well. Now, you have to draw a line here, folks, somewhere, don't you? Is it down to the person misusing the item? Surely it is. If they take a piece of electronics and use it to make a bomb, they are the guilty party, not the person that sold the electronics in the first place. The electronics were sold in good faith. It's a legal component, not illegal. So how can these people be extradited? What is going on here? There's something fundamentally wrong about this extradition treaty, and we really do have to get this onto the front pages of the newspaper. And I had a go at The Sun and The Daily Mirror this week, because they actually gave more front page space to Deirdre Rashid, a fictional character from Coronation Street, when she was put in jail in a soap opera, than they're giving to Gary McKinnon. What the hell is going on with our media? Why are they not getting behind this? It's ridiculous. I'm a British citizen. I'm proud to be a British citizen. I do not want to be extradited every time someone in the White House or the Pentagon clicks their fingers and says, we don't like him, get him over here now. Because let's face it, it could happen to any of us. Doing a show like this, where we're criticising things like this, I could be labelled as a subversive. And in that case, I would be on their computer as a danger to the American government. Am I a terrorist? Am I heckers like? You know me, it's ridiculous, but this is the way it's going. Unfortunately, all three of these people, Gary, the chemicals people, the electronics guy, are all under Order Military 1, which is a terrorism offence. Now, how do you make that out? Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Enough of the rambling, back to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you
hello.
There? Sorry, I'm on my high horse again there.
That's fine, good to listen to. I totally agree with you.
Well, thank you very much. Well, hopefully the listeners do too. Right, email in from Kenton. Hi, Kenton. He says, hi, Ross and Penny. I got one of my sons off Ritalin many years ago after I started researching nutrition. Ionic minerals, vitamins and antioxidants added to his diet worked wonders. He is now a spiritual young man with an extremely open mind. I'm beginning to wonder if he could be an indigo child. However, I'm not sure how one would identify him as such. Now, how would you identify an indigo, Elizabeth?
How would I? Do you know what? I've got an inkling, and I might be, but you might get loads of emails now to say you're wrong, rubbish, but I'm going to say it anyway because I'm always honest. I have an inkling that most children are what is termed indigo children. All the children that I've ever come into contact are pure humans. They have pure souls. They communicate with spirits. They see other ethereal beings. What we do to them, unfortunately, in my opinion, is we knock that out in the nurturing process. It happened to me. I don't, you know, I'm no special person, but it was nurtured out of me, and it took a long time for me to come back home to the core of my being to come out and say, you know, I have this gift. I think all children are indigo children. I'm pleased to hear that what Penton did for his child. I mean, what one needs to do, and it's all very well saying, oh, you know, if you're ill, white coat syndrome, go to the doctor, they'll fix you. They don't. Many people that have issues that have not been explored scientifically are shunned and are given something to shut them up, basically. What we have to do as parents, because we love our children, is find out what works and apply that to them. And it sounds as though he's done that, and power to him, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I tend to agree with you. I think a lot of the kids coming through now are indigo. But there's a certain thing with the kids that have this, I suppose, difference to them, that the doctors and the medics just want to put a name on. I mean, my ex-wife was like that. She had to have a name for Leanne's disease, inverted commas, you know, because she wasn't like other children. And she went through nutrition tests. She went to Great Ormond Street Hospital for tests. Mm-hmm. And eventually, a psychiatrist put the name ADHD cross Asperger's on a diagnosis when Leanne wasn't even there, just from what my ex-wife had discussed. And this is what they're trying to do now. They're trying to put tags on everything. The first thing that happens if you go to your doctors now and say you're feeling unwell is they start to ask you if you're depressed.
Yes, of course. But, you know, it's about Western society only, I think. I don't think it's marked the East as such. But what do we do in the West? You know, our societies are made up of boxes and labels. We're required to look and talk and act like somebody, a celebrity, or we're brainwashed to achieve the goals that celebrities have achieved. It's disgusting, in my opinion. What we need to do is to take a breath and to think about what we're doing. We need to be good people. We don't need to follow fashion. We don't need to box people, and we don't need labels. We need to recognize that each being has their own gifts, you know, and not struggle against that because they're different and want to put them in a box. My own brother was hospitalized because he was different. But when I went to see a healer, she said, your brother is an extremely gifted individual. Mm. And all that gift was shuttled out of him with drugs and so on and so forth. Why? Because he was different.
Exactly.
Let's praise difference and let's make it okay to be different. I hate the Western society. I'm off, I think.
You and me both. Now, I've said the same thing. I said it in Nevada, in my talk in Nevada, which you can actually get now on DVD on UFOCongress.com and through nowthatsweird.co.uk. And in that talk, I actually said this. If your kids are on Ritalin now, get them off it. Mm-hmm. These kids are special. They're different, but they're special. They're gifted. Mm-hmm. And one woman came up and hugged me afterwards and said that she'd got a child that's got ADHD. And I made her cry with that statement. She said, because you're so right. And it is. You know, people are misjudging because, again, of this belief in medicine and science over, you know, if you like, paranormal investigators. That's the problem. And it's only recently that people are actually standing up and saying, well, actually, there's something in all this, you know?
I think that's happening. And I think, you know, you were talking about a sort of lull or people feeling as though time stood still for some period now. And I think that's about an awakening that's coming. And I think that awakening will take place on many, many different levels. But most importantly for me would be that we awaken to our own environment and we try to accept differences and we don't try to box people and label them because we're all different.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, don't forget to keep those ideas coming in. And what it is that Elizabeth is channeling out into the ether tonight, it seems that not many of you are having a stab at this one tonight. So whatever you've got, whether you're doodling on a pad next to your computer, whether you're seeing something in your third eye, send it in. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. It's not about being right or wrong. It's just about seeing whether or not the project works. And we've been doing this now, as you know, for 3 years on the show, every time Elizabeth comes on. So let us know what you think. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Lots of you in the chat room talking about how amazing this whole thing is about this extradition treaty. And one person here has made the comment that, well, does that mean the man that makes my clothes, if he made clothes for a terrorist, could also be extradited? Unfortunately, yes, it does. That's the problem. Yeah. But please keep them to emails, because although I can pick the odd one or two up out of the chat room, I can't get everybody's comments because it rotates around too quickly. So if you've got important things like that to say, drop it on an email to us, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, so we can discuss it. Now, the final discussion point on the programme tonight with Elizabeth is about experience of unexplained phenomena. Have any of you ever had an experience that you feel too ashamed to talk about? Now, you don't necessarily need to talk about it in depth, but do get in touch and we could try to rationalise and explain the experience in some way. And obviously we can keep your name anonymous if that's what you'd like to do. But Elizabeth, do you find a lot of people come to you as a psychic and tell you about things that have happened to them that they're too embarrassed to talk about elsewhere?
Yes, I think the answer to that generally is yes. I think once they know that you're different, they're more willing to open up and recognise perhaps they've had a different experience. You know, once again, I think it's about the culture that we live in and the environment. And whilst we're, you know, aware that we need to conform in all matters, and conformity is the name of the game at the moment, isn't it? Mm. You can't step out of line and you're told, whoops, you can't do that. That's not allowed. Why? Because it's different. And I think many, many people out there have had experiences. They may just have thought they'd seen something with the corner of their eye and then thought, no, it's just my mind playing tricks. Or they may have heard voices or seen something in the sky or seen anything. But they're not going to come forward, you know, and I think that's been my experience of talking to people is they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to be ridiculed. Mm. And what I'm saying tonight is feel free, you know, why don't you get in touch and even if it's after I've gone, get in touch with the show and then next week perhaps I could put some issues forward of trying to explain, because I can do that psychically, amazingly. If somebody gives me a photograph, normally I can say who the people are on the photograph, and I can pick up spirits in the photograph as well. So that's one of my few talents. So maybe if they'd like to share, you know, I'd do my best to try and explain it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's get back to the emails in the interim, because I can see time creeping away on us. Mm. Mike P says it's a wax paper cup slightly bitten on the rim.
Oh, Mike P. Well, thank you, Mike.
Yes, you could take that in more than one way, Mike. Right. Penny laughing in the background there at that one as well. Graham Robertson, who we always leave till the end because he keeps getting it right, he sent this in actually before you came on air tonight. He said, for Elizabeth, I have an open book with what looks like a candle or a wand resting upon it. It seems to be giving off a light or an energy. If this is correct, then I do see the symbolism of it. Book equals knowledge, candle equals illumination, or wand me, he says.
Interesting, Graham.
So, yeah, there you go. So what was it? Put us all out of our misery. What was it you were channeling out into the ether tonight?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you tonight.
Do you know what? You'd have an armada on your hands. You'd have everybody getting to their ships and coming up to North Wales.
They'd be sorry. Okay, I think a gold star this evening needs to be pushed out into the ether towards prison.
Prism?
Because it's a tree.
Oh, Graham Robertson, he's beaten tonight. Now, that's unusual. Graham getting it wrong. There you go. It's a tree. Well done, Prism.
Yeah, that's good. And he did say, didn't he? Am I right?
He did.
He said he'd been practising.
He'd been practising what you said on the show last week.
Oh, I'm a teacher.
There you go. That's wonderful. Well, I think we should continue this next week because there's so much more on those subjects to talk about, and you've certainly lit the chat room up tonight on some of these debate subjects.
Well, so if people would get in touch, and then next week, you know, I will try psychically to explain some of their experiences, and in some instances I can connect. So that may be interesting, you know, to try.
Okay. Now, if you want to send pictures or anything to Elizabeth in the meantime, she has a blog, which I think, if I remember right, is blogspot.hauntingbreaks.co.uk. Oh, there you go, I remembered. How about that?
Great. Yeah. Good.
Wonderful. For a man of my age, what a memory. Elizabeth, as always, great fun. Always enjoy talking to you, and hopefully again next week.
Yeah, if I'm still on this earth, you will do.
Well, hopefully we both will be.
Okay.
We'll speak to you soon. Have a fantastic weekend.
Okay, take care.
And you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you go, Elizabeth. And it was a tree tonight. Prism, well done. You got it right. Graham, what happened? What happened? Every week Graham Robertson gets it right. Tonight he didn't. What went wrong? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. What do you think? Well, it's certainly been a good show so far this evening, and I think it's going to get even better in hour three, because we've got Stephen Harefield coming on. He's from he's an intuitive trained by the Edgar Cayce Institute, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. And it's interesting going through the chat room again this evening, nowthatsweird.co.uk. A lot of people getting very uptight about this whole extradition thing, and I think with good cause, I have to say. It's wrong. It is very, very wrong. Something needs to be done. So why are our government not doing anything about it? Why is the Home Secretary ignoring my emails? I'm getting standard letters back from Jackie Smith. I called for her resignation this week. I think everybody else should do the same. She's not acting on our best behalf as British citizens. She is our elected representative. She was put there to work on our behalf. I think it's time that every single listener of this show wrote to Jackie Smith and said, get out. If you can't do the job, we don't want you. Simple as that. Go. There is the door. Or is it just me on my high horse again? Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back in hour three with more. Now That's Weird.
Friday night.
This is Now That's Weird
with Ross Hemsworth.
Glastonbury Radio.
Live from the heart of Glastonbury, England.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information. Behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Dick, have fun quail hunting. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show. Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed.
beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Weird indeed. The chat room is absolutely buzzing at the moment of how great is that song. Yes, it was Gary McKinnon singing Only a Fool. It's his own composition and him on vocals. It's got a very sort of George Michael feel to it, I think, and everybody in the chat room saying, where can they buy it? Well, I don't know if it's actually available for sale, but you can download it in various places, although the places that I knew where it was, i.e. MySpace and such like, MySpace have deemed it political and taken it down, would you believe? So I would suggest you all go to freegary.org.uk, and if you email the webmaster there, they may be able to tell you where to get it. That is Gary McKinnon singing Only a Fool, and yeah, it's great. Someone else here saying it's a bit Robert Palmer-ish. Yeah, I think so. I think there's definitely touches of George Michael. I reckon that if we get this benefit concert together, we should get George Michael to perform that song. That would be really cool, wouldn't it? So maybe. There you go. Right, a few emails come in during the break, and it seems as usual, the emails running late as they always do, and I've got one here for... Oh, it's a couple here for the challenge. Hey, Ross and Elizabeth, of course. We're sitting here listening and enjoying the show in Denmark. Not much we can do from here, but Gary has our support. Maybe the 12 can help. As for the challenge, Daniela thinks it's a silhouette of a tree and a moon by the top branches. Rasmus thinks it's a half moon, and Pernille doesn't know. Good vibes from Denmark. And, well, I've got to tell you guys that the silhouette of a tree was very close because it was, in fact, a tree, so Daniela was probably the closest there tonight. Probably wrong as usual, but I'd like it to be a lighthouse or something monolith-like, and that's from Jacqueline in Lincolnshire. And Graham says, oh dear, there goes my theory out the window. I've been channeling that one since yesterday lunchtime, so thought she was picking it up from me. I'll wait till she comes on in the future, from Graham.
Aww,
so there you go. Well, poor
Graham.
Old Graham's got it wrong. There you go. Right, let me introduce my next guest now into hour three. Dr. Stephen Harefield is a certified intuitive through the Edgar Cayce Foundation and holds a doctorate in metaphysics. Whilst a soldier in the Vietnam War, as was my first guest apparently tonight, he was psychically summoned by the Tibetan masters to India. There he was trained in mystic knowledge and studied the lost years of Jesus. His latest book, A Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible, and he is featured in the soon-to-be-released documentary Metaphysia, made by Marin Studios. Known in his hometown of Reno, Nevada, as the Northern Nevada's number one psychic and empath, Dr. Harefield makes yearly predictions of coming world events, which have been between 75 and 100% accurate. Dr. Stephen Harefield has touched the ground not many have, experiencing firsthand with Zen and Tibetan monks' paranormal abilities, which he says all of us have, though few have learned to manifest. Harefield is the founder of Aware Talk Radio and host of Are You Aware? And has been interviewed on over 70 blog talk radio programs, including The X Zone and the Maria Heller Show, which I did myself the other week, and has spoken at hundreds of New Thought churches throughout the United States. He gives readings by phones to clients all over the world, guiding each person to find their inner truth. And he's on the phone now from Nevada. Good evening, Stephen.
Well, it's afternoon, and it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me, Ross.
No problem at all. And I was in Nevada myself earlier this year at UFO Congress in Laughlin, and in fact, I'll be back there in February if the government let me in.
I'm sure they will.
Well, I'm being called a subversive now. I'm on that register of dangerous people because I dare talk about hidden truths.
Well, you know, hidden truth is the most curious of all, and I'm sure if they have you on a list, they're certainly not going to stop you in the first place.
No, absolutely. Now, I've got to ask you, are you on a walk-around phone there, Stephen?
Actually, I'm sitting down at my desk, no.
Right, okay. It's just it's sort of fading in and out a little bit, so we're going to have to see. We'll see how it goes. We may have to try and get a better line in a moment and see if we can improve on it, because you're sort of coming and going a little bit.
Well, then maybe I'll quit moving my head.
That might be it. Now, tell us, what got you involved in all this? Because I understand that you were actually a monk.
Yes, I spent many years as a monk in India and Nepal. You know, you're fading out on my end, too. Maybe it's the cosmos, huh?
I reckon it is. Something out there interfering with us.
I knew there was more to life than what I had been taught, and I just went on a search for meaning and found out what I needed to know about life.
Yeah, I think I... I think I'm going to have to ring you back because we are losing you quite badly there. Let's see if we can get a better line.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a piece of music on just for a moment. Or in fact, let's play an ad break in here and we'll try and get Stephen back on the phones. Bear with us.
The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero. Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant. With your interest being music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834 141.
Okay, well, hopefully we've got a better line this time, and apologies for that impromptu break there, but let's see if we can actually hear him this time. Stephen?
Yes, sir.
That sounds a lot better.
Maybe the satellites were just out of alignment.
Yeah, something was out of alignment. Not quite sure what it was, but we got you loud and clear now.
Wonderful.
We were talking to you about being a monk. Now, how did you end up there? I mean, what caused that, and why did you leave?
Well, first, it was the last part I'll answer first. They told me it was time to come back to the United States to teach consciousness in this part of the world, much to my sadness. How I ended up there is, I was in my senior year in college. I was taught by the Zens to follow my urges. My urges were telling me that I had to go to northern India. Didn't know why, so when I graduated, I sold everything I had, hopped on a jet, found myself in India, and began wandering around. And ended up on a roadside shack or next to it having a cup of tea. And when I sat down, this voice behind me said, "We've been waiting for you." And I knew they weren't talking to me. And the next thing I heard just shocked me right out of my skin, because what the voice said, "Your name is Stephen, is it not?" And I slowly turned around, didn't see Rod Serling, and looked into the softest brown eyes I'd ever met. And I said, "Yes, my name is Stephen." He said, "Good. We've been waiting for you." And I looked at him and said, "How did you know I was here?" He said, "6 months ago, we began focusing on your energy to bring you here, and we knew from that you were not only in India, but where you would arrive." And they came to greet me, and they used consciousness to do that.
That's amazing. Now, that must have had quite an inspiration on your life and the direction it took you in.
Oh, totally. It totally changed it. I had a very difficult childhood, of course, Vietnam. And I learned to understand that it was all part of the reason for my life that ultimately put me in the direction that it did, to learn what I did and to be able to write about what I write about. So to me, it was just an inspiring adventure, and truthfully, it still is to this day.
Now, what you write about is actually quite intriguing, because the book is called Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible. Now, how do you come across it? I mean, I suppose a lot of people have a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, but they don't realize they do. So what makes you want to write about subjects like this, and what makes that different?
Well, I felt as a very young person, the message that I was getting about the Creator, about us, about our relationship and all of that, something said it wasn't correct, that there was something different. And I know that when I went to India and found out that Christ himself had been there for 14 of his 18 missing years, it kind of confirmed it for me. Because, you see, the biblical text is written in allegory and metaphor, which means you cannot take it literal. And because of that, I began studying every ancient text I could get my hands on. And as I studied them, I realized the different meanings in cross-referencing all of these texts. As an example, the word Satan actually turns out to be a 5,000-year-old term for ego. The tempter, the taunter. It's not a red guy running around under the dirt with a pitchfork. it's all between our ears, and it's about mastering that. And I thought the world should know that. Here's who we are, and this is how we operate.
Mm.
And that's what the metaphysical interpretation walks a person through.
Now, a lot of people believe that Jesus spent those missing years in India, but has that ever actually been proven?
I'm actually the ninth person that has ever actually held the text in my hand, which actually, at least known. The first was a gentleman, a German, by the name of Henry Rohrich, back in the late 1800s. So when you say proven, I can certainly assure every listener this, that if you go into, as an example, the Hemis Monastery in Ladakh and say, prove it to me, they're going to look at you and say, prove to you what? And they will show you nothing. But if you go there to learn and are interested in what they have to share, they will hand you the texts and say, read them.
It's an interesting one, because they also claim that Jesus' body is buried in Kashmir in India. Now, I have a real gut feeling that that's not correct.
Well, that's an interesting idea, but Ross, supposedly, according to the biblical text, this person was crucified, died, which is somewhat questionable, and then he rose. So if he rose and he overcame death, why would anybody be looking for a tomb?
Mm. That's an interesting point, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I can tell you, I've stood before a little building that is called Mary's House. Now, that's intriguing.
Mm.
And the interesting part is this thing has been there for millennia. And I know that the people in that part of the world, they really have, they're not prone to being untruthful, let's put it that way. And they're not prone to exaggeration. Heck, even in Kashmir, Ross, I stood at the base of a mountain called Mount Nebo, and there's a grave there, and it is said that that is Moses' grave. Now, of course, we're told biblically that Moses is buried at the base of Mount Nebo. So, isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. But you see, you've got other theories now that are saying Moses was in fact an Egyptian, may well have been Akhenaten, and possibly came to Europe as part of the Exodus from the Bible. So there's so many stories out there, it actually gets confusing, doesn't it?
Well, I think if people follow all of these stories, yes, it can. But, you know, I studied Ross texts in the Middle East, the Far East, the Mayan text, Hopi text. And interestingly enough, all of the Middle Eastern and Far Eastern texts say very similar things that the biblical texts do. And you have to be able to filter through them. I mean, we could suppose that Moses was in Europe, Mary Magdalene was in Europe, that Jesus' tomb is in Kashmir. But to really find out the real information, I think a person has to dig very, very deeply. And I spent 37 years in doing precisely that. By cross-referencing every text. I don't think for one moment Moses was ever in Europe. If for no other reason this, it took this man 40 years to travel 250 miles. Do you realize that's about 9 feet a day? How long would you follow that individual? Not very long.
Well, that's true.
All right, but see, the interesting thing is that's not what the metaphor means.
Mm.
I think he's talking about the journey of life. It takes 10 years to learn to master our body, the second 10 years to master our minds, the third 10 years to master our emotions, and the fourth decade to put them all together is one operating principle. I think that's the story about through the wilderness.
Absolutely. Now, I've got to stop you there because we need to go to a break. If you've got any questions for my guest, Dr. Stephen Harefield, get them in now, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after this.
Now the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info,
His mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. The magic and mystery of the Crystal Skulls, brought to life in an amazing new divination and healing deck by White Elk Woman. The Crystal Skull Message Cards, a box of 39 beautiful and inspiring cards with guidebook. Buy the Crystal Skull Message Cards online or find your nearest stockist by visiting crystalskullcards.com. A wonderful way to let the wisdom of the Crystal Skulls touch your heart and soul. Chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio Hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
With your interest being music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A420. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834 141. The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guide to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by many well-known people, including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centres, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale or tanning and therapy centres with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See the connections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. The show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. We're in hour three and my guest is Dr. Stephen Harefield. Now, his website, if you want to find out a bit more about him, is harefield.com, which is H-A-I-R-F-I-E-L-D, harefield.com. Now, I've also been sent a link across for that Gary McKinnon song. It is actually up on YouTube, but it's a bit of a long address to give out. So if you search YouTube for Gary McKinnon, I'm sure you'll find it. But if you're on the chat room, you can ask Jackie to post it in the chat room. Jackie from Lincolnshire has just sent it across to us. So Jackie, perhaps you'll post that link up, as it's going to be difficult for me to do here while I'm on air. Now, let's go back to our guest, Dr. Stephen Harefield, on the phone from Nevada in America. Now, it says in your bio you're a certified psychic or intuitive for the Edgar Cayce Foundation. Now, how did this come about, and do you do this for people only in your country or worldwide? How does it work?
Well, first off, they thoroughly test the individuals that they pick. They only pick 250 people every 7 years. And when they contacted me, they kept telling me that my name kept coming up from people. And then, of course, I had to pass the tests that they put forth because they have the most tested psychics or intuitives in the world. And if you remember, just as we started the show, I told you some intuitive things about you. So it's not limited to sitting right in front of me, because intuition doesn't know time, nor does it know distance. In fact, I've read for a lot of people in the UK and Europe, Switzerland, and do it daily. Shanghai, China,
mm-hmm.
Even St. Petersburg, Russia, which was a real surprise for me. Yeah, I love working with people literally all over the world to help them understand their lives, their purpose, their direction, why they're experiencing what they're experiencing. I also share with people that if you want a fortune teller, go find one, because that's not what I do. I don't take what I do seriously, but I do take it genuinely, because I think people deserve a better opportunity with their own selves than possibly the way that they're living. So that's why I do it.
You know, it's interesting that Edgar Cayce was known for a lot of very spot-on predictions and precognition, and you yourself have got quite a good track record as well. What do you see in our future at the moment with all this talk of 2012?
Well, first off, 2012 is inevitable, and I have to share with everybody that forensic archaeology says that the modern Julian calendar is actually 6 years off. So we are in the throes, essentially, of 2012 now. I believe what's going to happen is we're witnessing right at this moment the birth of a new type of human, more of a divinely based human. All the influences right now are on our emotions. In fact, I was asked in January of this year to put 2008 in one word, and I said it was the year of exposure. And look at what we're looking at. I mean, everything possible we're being shown. And next year is going to be the year of realization, which means that then and only then will things change. I can say for the rest of this year, we have some very interesting times going on. One, I'll say to you right now, no matter what the governments of the world do, this economic situation for the globe is going to remain the same until people realize one thing. The human has developed a system which now controls us. And there's the crux of the matter in a nutshell right there, Ross. So until we come to that realization within ourselves, the screws are only going to get tighter and tighter. And we could see a complete economic collapse unless everybody realizes who's the most important. And it's the individual. The system should have never controlled us.
That's an interesting thought, because a lot of people are coming to a very similar conclusion about the whole global financial system. And over here, I had an email from Gordon Brown, our Prime Minister, on one of the journalist press releases that finished with the words, working towards global governance, which scared the hell out of me.
Well, but that's true. That's actually true. But see, here's the thing that a lot of people don't necessarily realize, and that's this, that it is one world. And I don't know about you, but every time I've crossed a national line or boundary, or from one of the states here in the United States, I've never seen a line drawn on the ground. And I don't think it should be a one-world government as much as it should be a one world of people being able to go wherever they choose without the permission of any government body. Now that I've said that, I'm going to be on the same list you're on.
That's true, yeah. That's it.
But I honestly think that's where we're headed, and that would be an implicit prediction on my part. Because of what is going on in our world now. And see, one of the beauties of life, if I might, Ross, is this, that we have a lot of startling things that are going on in our reality which are defying our comprehension. But one thing we don't realize yet is every time our comprehension is defied, our ability to comprehend greater things expands. In the time that we're coming in and the idea of 2012, we're going to need all the expansive ability that we can possibly get. So the universe is taking it slowly and steadily, and I can certainly assure all of the listeners of another thing. All of these powers that be don't have the power that they think they do. What they're actually doing is orchestrating what the universe already has planned, and all they're doing is carrying it out. Mm. It's just the way that they're doing it, because they're thinking only about physical, about body, materiality, and that's not it at all.
It's an interesting one. Now, Dromvolo Melchizedek, who was my guest in hour one of the show tonight, not far up the road from you, in Sedona, actually, in Arizona, the next state, and he said that he's been working with a lot of the Mayans and the Tibetans and various other races on this whole issue of 2012, and he gave me the date of April the 18th to the 28th, 2009, where he said the indigenous people have all said the same thing. This is a period where initial contact will take place before physical contact with what we might call ETs takes place. Now, in your predictions and your view of the future, do you see something happening around that time, April next year?
I would say yes. As far as what the contact is and where it actually comes from, that still remains to be seen, and here's why I say that. Somebody such as myself and Dumbelow, we actually communicate with consciousness, and sometimes they may determine that that is, quote, an ET. But we all know there's more to the universe than what we have always thought. I mean, to me, it's ludicrous to think that we're alone in the entire universe. I mean, look at the crop circles you guys get, especially in the UK. I think their message is letting us know. So In that window, I believe high communication is going to be opened for us, and it depends on who and what we communicate with. And truthfully, all of the listeners, they actually have our best interest in mind. And besides, if you really thought about something, what's the best way to bring the world to peace and to change its focus and its own dynamics? Give it something it's never seen or experienced, and then we as an entire civilization unify very rapidly.
Absolutely. Well, I've set up a thing with Phyllis Schlemmer and Dr. J.J. Hertak, or Professor J.J. Hertak, called 12canchangetheworld.org, and I've got some views on that myself, which you might want to have a look at sometime yourself, Stephen, and see what you make of it. Now, a couple of emails come in here. Let's quickly have a look at these. One's from Stiffy. That's his alias in our chat room. He says, "Hi, Ross. Where can we find a list of the prophecies for next year? As Stephen has a 75 to 100% accuracy to date, is next year's list up?"
No, it won't come up actually until January, be the first week in January. But my 2008 is there, and so far, and of course the year isn't over, those predictions are sitting at 75%.
Cool. Okay, Mike Philbin in Oxford says, question for Stephen, does it matter how we attempt to live our lives? Do we really have any control over our own fate? Are things actually out of our hands?
That's an absolutely wonderful question. Here's what I was taught, and I have found it to be implicitly correct. What we have is choice. We believe we have free will, but what it really comes down to is simply choice. And the choice is even limited to one of two things. Are you enjoying yourself or not? I was told in the early 70s by my teachers in India what I would be doing by my mid-50s, and then I proceeded to spend what I thought 14 years going, there is no way I'm going to do that. Here's the funny part. I'm doing exactly what they told me I was going to do, including the writing, and not only that, they said that I would be known throughout the world by about the same time frame, and here I'm talking throughout the world, so... Oh. We all have a fate, if you will. What is in our hands is simply the experience we utilize to get there. Can we avoid it? You might think so, and you might in this lifetime, but if you believe in reincarnation, and whether you do or you don't, is not that important, because I talk to the other side quite frequently. So you have a choice of accomplishing it in this lifetime, or... you can have the privilege and honor of returning and having this illustrious experience again until you get there.
Now, you see, I look at it a different way. I think it's a case of if you don't get it right first time, you're punished by having to come back and serve this buddy.
Well, in a way, I guess you could say that. That's what you get for trying to avoid yourself. So, okay, now I'm going to show you.
I think you're right. But I always say, when I do my lectures around the world, I always say to people that we all take a route. And when we all start our lives in one place and we finish at a particular destination, some travel by the interstate or the motorway, others take the country roads, but we all get there. And it's the same thing. It's about fate. It's about we're going to get to that destination. We're going to get to that particular point. But how we choose to get there is the free choice aspect of our life here on Earth.
And I would be in complete alignment with that. In fact, the Tibetans say there are many roads, yet there is but one path. So you can take any route that you choose, but the destination point is the same. It depends on whether you want to, pardon my demented humor, enjoy the scenery or get there in a hurry. And what I mean by scenery is the experience of floundering around in the dark. But yeah, we all have a destiny.
Well, I think I agree with that, and I would say I spent sort of 10 years going around the country roads looking at the trees, and I've suddenly realised now I better get my foot down and do 90 up the interstate, because we need to get our foot down on this business now. Now, let's move on. Scientists are saying now that the physical sciences, that our magnetic fields, our poles are shifting in the world. Now, this is something we've been hearing about for some time, and I'd like to know your take on this and what it means to us as a race.
Well, I believe, first off, that it has everything to do with the idea of 2012. When the field, in fact, this past, Tuesday evening on the History Channel, I was watching a documentary on this very same thing. They know for a fact that the magnetic fields are shifting. But what nobody talks about is probably the most important impact of all, and that's you and I and the rest of humankind. People don't realize that we are living, breathing, thinking, walking, moving electromagnetic fields. And as those fields shift and change, so do we. And I believe that's why we're seeing the great predominance of struggle in our world today, is because of that very idea. Ross, ancient prophecy tells us this, that society will go from patriarchal to matriarchal. Now, that doesn't mean women being in control, although we see what the guys have done, so let's see what the ladies can do. But that actually, to me, means this. We go from left-brain logic to right-brain creative mind and thought. And instead of being so logical about it, even more sensitive and or emotional. I know for certain right now, Ross, that virtually the mass majority of humankind, their own intuitive sense is awakening. And that's all, I think, brought on by the shifting of these magnetic fields. The truth is, Ross, this happens about every 25,000 years, and science knows that. Every 25,000 years, and intriguingly enough, I don't know why people haven't put this together, that when you take core samples of ice, about every 25,000 years, there's been a global warming of one kind or another. So you got to ask yourself, 25,000 years ago, what were they driving then?
Absolutely. Well, on that very point, next week we've got Peter Taylor on the program, who some years ago said, we're not heading for global warming, we're heading for global cooling. And of course, everybody protested and said, the guy's a nutter. He's been proven right now, and science has actually started to agree with him. He's on the program in the final hour next week. And on that very point, Stephen, the weather. Anyone that reads my blog on MySpace, and I have thousands of readers all around the world to that particular blog, knows that at least once a week I moan about the bloody weather keep changing. Now, is this weather changing because of something to do with this pole shift?
Let's call it a polarity shift, but the pole shift is ultimately the same in result. Absolutely. They are directly connected and directly related, and I don't know why the field of physical sciences don't get that point.
Well, a lot of people are blaming HAARP, aren't they, this experiment that's going on in Alaska right now, saying that that's actually changing things. Do you know about HAARP?
I know quite a bit about HAARP. Absolutely do. Been studying that puppy for a long time. Yes, sir.
And what do you think about it?
If I can, first off, we've heard prophecies say that Atlantis will rise again. I'm not sure an island's going to pop up out of the middle of the Atlantic, but I think what the prophecy says is that mindset is going to return, and I think HAARP is part of that mindset. What people don't realize is simply this. A human can do what HAARP does. Now, let me say that again. Yeah. An individual human can do what HAARP does. And that's what Atlanteans used to do. But we've gotten so used to our technology. And any time we have technology and physical minds being involved, they tend to want to play. But I think HAARP is going to end up undoing itself.
There's an interesting one. Okay, we need to go to another break. Any questions for Dr. Stephen Harefield, get them in now. It's Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be talking some more with him in just a moment. And I'm still getting a lot of emails in as well about this Gary McKinnon thing and the extradition treaty, and I'm not ignoring you guys. Thanks for that. But obviously we're off topic on that at the moment, so I will get back to you in due course on those. And it's good to see that so many people are so passionate about the issue at the moment. And we will keep you informed of everything we can through the website nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after this.
Friday nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Burns the Bread are a whole lot more than just a local baker's. As well as the freshest bread in Glastonbury and Street, why not try their Torsi Morsi Cake, a unique fruit-based cake that makes an ideal gift. It comes in its own tin with a distinctive local picture and tastes fantastic. Order your tasty piece of Glastonbury now by calling 01458 831 532 and tell them Glastonbury Radio. Radio send you Burns the Bread, another Glastonbury radio hero. Don't forget, you can now listen to shows you may have missed
stored on our servers.
Check out our Listen Again feature at glastonburyradio.net. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Winner of the 2007 New York Book Show Best Series. Based entirely in Glastonbury and proud to be a Glastonbury hero. Supporting Glastonbury Radio are Wooden Books, the mathemagical ancient wisdom series, taking the UK and the US by storm.
Visit woodenbooks.com for the latest titles in the series. The very best Christmas presents. The ultimate gift for that nerdy uncle, brainy nephew, or witchy sister. Make Britain brainy again. Small books, big ideas. 100% recycled. Made in Wiltshire. Wooden Books. Another Glastonbury hero. Nights will never be the same again. Get hooked on Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth every Friday night at 9 p.m. GMT. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yeah, it's just been having a little look in the chat room during the break there, and a few people are saying, well, where's Penny tonight? Has she been sacked? How can I sack the missus? Come on. She produces the show. She's looking after your emails. She's doing all the web stuff, activating people that are signing in and getting activated on the site. Because obviously she has to approve them first. So that's why she's not been in the chat room this evening. So it's not a case that she's not working. She's just getting busier and busier. See, each week the listening figures are going up and up and up. And we've had a massive amount of people join the website over the last week from Australia. So hi to all you Australians finding Now That's Weird for the first time. It's good to have you guys on board. And g'day, chuck us another tinny on the barbie there, mate. Let's go back and join my guest. It's Dr. Stephen Harefield on the line. The website is harefield.com. Stephen, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here.
There you go. You see, my missus is getting so busy here, working in the background as my producer and looking after the show. I actually think now, because she's not in the chat room, I got rid of her.
No, there's too much between you two.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. She is my backbone, as they say. Oh, look, she just bought me a drink. Bless her. Yeah. See, this is the other thing she does during the show as well. There you go.
There you go. It makes it easier.
Exactly. Right, now let's come back to subject. We were talking about the weather, about HARP, and about things that are different at the moment. Now, would you say that some of this is the cause of why we're seeing so much in the way of upheaval in our world at the present, because of these changes that are going on around us?
To me, there's a curious relationship between the individual collective mind of humanity and the upheaval that we see in weather and even geology. It's a question of which one is causing which. But I believe a lot of that also goes back to the shifting of the magnetic fields. One of the things that I attempt to impress upon people, if I can, Ross, is the fact that just how powerful humans are. If everybody just sat back for one moment and thought about one thing, each individual that's hearing me, you created your life just the way that you chose to do it. Yes, you do have a direction. Yes, you do have a fate. But it's you that is the guiding energy behind that. And we can directly affect the weather. We can directly affect geology, and we're just not aware of that. And I realize that sounds very far-fetched, but you tell me one thing in our physical reality that is more powerful, that's alive and breathing and has life, that is more powerful than the human being.
Absolutely.
Not one thing.
Well, can you give us a tip here, Stephen, on how I can get out there tomorrow morning and do some sort of sun dance to get some blistering hot weather for a while?
Well, you're not going to get blistering hot weather right now. But by the way, I can tell you something, that after these shifts have all settled, you guys will be more tropical in your weather than what you are now. And interestingly enough, I've read that you have tropical fish that have been swimming in the English Channel.
Yeah, we have actually. Yeah, there have been some strange fish around our coastline just lately, yeah.
Well, get used to it, because you're going to get more of them. Just be aware of the guys with the big teeth.
Yes, we got a few of them, and they're not just in the water either.
Exactly. It's like somebody.
We've got one sitting in Downing Street right now.
Well, thank you. I was getting ready to say, I was just going to say that somebody asked me one time about global warming. And I said, well, most of that methane actually comes out of Washington, D.C.
That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I'll go along with that one. Right, now, let's look again at the whole 2012 thing, because if we go beyond 2012, a lot of people have been talking about 2012 as the end of the world. Of course, it's not. It's the end of a period of time,
right,
and a cycle. So what do you foresee beyond 2012?
Oh, man, I want to be around, I tell you that. It's going to be, imagine a world, let me answer it this way. Imagine a world where there's no war, there's no police, there's no judicial system, there's no crime, a world where all people not only communicate with each other but want to do that. Imagine a world where there's no deception. Imagine a world where there's only living truth. That's a thumbnail sketch of what we're in for. But let me assure all of your listeners out there, the journey to get there, I will say, using this word, is going to be intriguingly interesting.
Ooh, I hope I'm around for that as well, then. It sounds good.
Yeah, but it's a huge transition. You know, we're already witnessing, Ross, the dying of the old, and I say again, that's where the variety of the struggles are coming from. You see, the old ways aren't working. You tell me, Ross, what out there is really working in the way of systems? Is the financial system working? Duh, no. Is the educational systems working? Are the governmental systems working? What system out there is actually functioning smooth as silk?
That's true.
I can't think of one.
Mm.
So already we're being shown that what and how we do things is antiquated, and that you must let these go so the new can come in. And Ross, that's where the interesting time is going to come in, because people don't necessarily let go of the old very easily. I like this. I've done it this way since my parents have done it this way. My family has done it this way for 500 years, and I'm not changing it now. Oh, yes, you are.
Yes, yeah, so I think that might be forced upon us. Now, let's look at the whole 2012 thing, the Mayan prophecies, and the Book of Revelation, because the Christians keep telling us this is the period of rapture. This is actually what Revelations are on about. It's the end of the world. We're going to see the 144,000 raised or whatever. What are the comparisons, and is there any link between the two?
Oh, I think absolutely startlingly so, because I had read Revelation first. And then I started studying the Mayan prophecy and the Hopi traditions, and I was going, holy smoke. And then I began cross-referencing the two, and they, in essence, say the same thing. It's the awakening of full divine consciousness, in a nutshell. It's not about death and destruction. In fact, one of the things that intrigued me, Ross, about the biblical text is this. There are 7 points to the Sermon on the Mount. There are 7 parables only. There are 7 letters to 7 churches, 7 angels, and 7 trumpets. Those are the chakra body. That's the chakra system. It's the energy body.
Mm.
And we are going through that communication now being expressed to us by a higher divine order. And we are awakening or not. And the truth is, there's going to be a lot more than 144,000 people left, a lot more, and oddly enough, I don't know why, but people overlook that because in their Book of Revelations it says that. When you read the Mayan text, they don't get too caught up in death. They get very pointedly involved in a huge dynamic shift that's coming. And once more, it happens about every 25,000 to 25,800 years. You know, even if you look at the biblical text, here's something people don't pay too much attention to. But if the Bible is correct, then our world is only 5,000 years old. Well, we know that's not.
Mm.
We know it's much older than that. You see, in the Mayan text, we're in a period of coming to a close on 2 cycles. One cycle is a 5,000-year cycle, Bible 5,000 years old. The second is a grand cycle of 25,000 years. In fact, according to the Mayan calendar, the world should know, as of yesterday, we began day 6 of the Mayan calendar. Day 6, there are only 7.
Hmm.
So we are entering the very final phase of the shift, and it's a shift into higher energy streams. Here's a question for all of your listeners. Does it seem like time is going by much faster?
Now, funnily enough, I put that on my blog this week as well, that I thought time was seeming to speed up around us.
It is, but you see, we're actually approaching a period that, I love the way Greg Braden put it, the period termed as no time, which also the Maya talk about. And ironically enough, if we look into the field of mathematics and Einstein says that time is not a linear straight line, that time is an arc. Well, we know through mathematics that an arc is a portion of a circle or a cycle, and that cycle, according to the Maya, is a 25,000-year stretch, and we are coming to the close of that grand cycle, thus the shift in dynamics and energy streams of our world. And because of that, we have the sense or feel that time is going faster, and it is going to continue going faster and faster until those that have the ability to comprehend step into that process known as no time, or zero point.
Hmm. Okay, let's take a quick look at the emails, Stephen, because they're sort of queuing up here. We get hundreds and hundreds of emails into the show, and of course what we have to do is try and keep them on topic, and because people tend to email about things they'd heard 20 minutes ago, they don't get the email read out. Jed from New Jersey is an interesting one here. He said, what is your guest's views on the ET issue?
On the ET issue, well, my first humorous response would be, I have no issue with them. that would be my first response. Oh, they're coming. But everybody has to understand something. In the state of the world right now, if an ET showed up this second, the knee-jerk reaction of humankind is, shoot it.
Mm.
Get rid of it. It's going to hurt us. I mean, look at what the movies in Hollywood has done. They've created a fear factor where there may not need to be one. And the second thing I would say is right now, they got to be a lot smarter than us, one, to be able to travel the way that they do, and two, they're too smart to step out and say, boo, here I am. So it's going to have to be a slow approach, and I think that's what they're doing. In fact, we have balloon races, hot air balloons here in the area, and my lovely bride and I went out to what they call the Dawn Patrol, and I looked up in the night sky, and I said, honey, do you see that? There it was a UFO, and it was above the field where all these hot air balloons were. And I got to think these guys were chuckling to themselves. No, they're not ready yet. Look how they travel around. They're still using balloons.
Absolutely. I've got one here from Donna, who's an expat living in Madrid in Spain. And funnily enough, she's actually asked the question that I was going to ask you next. You were talking earlier about crop circles. Mm-hmm. And she says, do you think they have anything to do with the 2012 issue? Are we being given a message for our own future, which we should be taking note of?
I would say that's an absolutely astoundingly important question. Here's why I say that. I was watching National Geographic special, Ross, one evening on crop circles. And then all of a sudden, they flashed two or three rows of them shown simultaneously on the screen, of course, reduced down in size. And I jumped up, and I looked at my bride and said, my heavens, that is an alphabet. So the answer would be, yes, I think they are. I think they're attempting to let us know of not only that 2012 is legit, but they're also attempting to warn us of the geologic activity that we're experiencing. And if nobody's noticed, it's also on the increase. And all of these, I think, are interrelated. So, yes, I think they are attempting to communicate. All of those crop circles, once heard it said that international communication is about mathematics. It's not about language. And I don't know if anybody has decided to put pen to paper and figure out the dynamics of those crop circles through mathematics. I think if they did, they would be startled. They would see that they aren't human done, in spite of what the media wants to say, because they're too dynamic. And yes, in answer to your question, they are attempting to communicate. And I think attempting to let us know that they are coming, and they mean no harm. What they want to do is educate. Gosh, we can go all the way back to the first crop circles, in essence, the Nazca lines in Central America, which can only be seen from the air.
Well, that's true. Let's hope you're right about that they are coming in love and light, so to speak, not for any other reason. Now, you have two CDs available. One is The Power of Thought. Can you give us a brief idea of what that's about and how people can learn from that?
Okay. In a nutshell, I read in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is a document that's about 2,000 years old, that a single human thought is so powerful that it could shake heaven. It's more powerful than lightning that cleaves the mighty oak, and more powerful than the mightiest earthquake. And what I do is I explain the dynamics of thought and how you can create and manifest the very things in your life that you want. And I combine in that a variety of texts and the knowledge of those texts to assist people in doing it. Imagine if you could walk on water. Imagine if you could just produce anything that you wanted to produce. That's the power of the human mind. The first thing that has to be removed is doubt and skepticism, and then the rest unfolds for you.
Absolutely. Well, it's been an absolute delight talking to you, Steve, and I hope you'll come back and talk some more, because there's a lot of stuff we haven't touched on yet tonight. I'd love to have you back as a guest in the future on the program.
I'd love to. I'd love to very much. I think it's a great show, and I think you're doing wonderful work, and I've visited quite a few of your websites, and you've got good information. I think everybody should hear you.
Thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. Well, likewise with yours, the website is hairfield.com, H-A-I-R-F-I-E-L-D, hairfield.com. Do check it out. And thanks again, Stephen, for being my guest this evening.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you go, Dr. Stephen Hairfield, and what an interesting set of guests again tonight. This is one of the things with Now That's Weird, you know, you never quite know from week to week what we're going to get on the show, because people get recommended to us. We've been told at the moment we should get Michael Zarian on the show, and one of the reasons that I hadn't got Michael on was because other radio shows had said to me they'd had Michael on the show, and whilst he's got good information, his way of putting it across is sometimes a little bit difficult for radio, but lots of people writing to me asking me to get him on, so, well, why not? And we, as I say, we never know for sure beforehand how someone's going to come across, but tonight with Drumvalo, Melchizedek, and with Stephen Hairfield, and of course with Elizabeth, I think a lot of good information has been put out there tonight. Final email comes in from Middle. It says, is the 144,000 the number of people needed to spark the quantum awareness? Almeen of BBS talks of how ISIS was sent up, has sent up an elite group to help the world's transition. Well, yes, Middle, again, Phyllis Schlemmer told me to set up, or helped me to set up 12canchangetheworld.com .org as well, sorry. And I think it's important that people do get together, get the message across, and perhaps that's the way we're doing it. Don't forget Glastonbury Carnival tomorrow. If you can get down to Glastonbury, please do. It's going to be a fantastic night. It's like the Mardi Gras here in town. We'll be back in a week's time with Ross Heaven and with Peter Taylor, my guest next week, talking about global cooling. Don't forget to keep an eye out throughout the week on developments on the website, nowthatsweird.co.uk. It's not just on Fridays, this information going up throughout the week. Make sure you voted in the poll tonight as well about the extradition treaty, and I keep talking about on Gary McKinnon. Make sure you vote before you go to bed, please, tonight on that poll on the website, nowthatsweird.co.uk. Many thanks to Penny, my producer, tonight, for all our sterling work. It's getting busier and busier every week now, and as the show grows to over a million listeners, we're probably going to need some more help here in the studio on a Friday night. But for 3 years we've been doing it with just the two of us. We've done pretty well, I think, getting this far forward, and I hope you agree. I hope you're still enjoying it as much now as you were then. And for the new listeners, I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing week to week. We'll be back in a week's time with more Now That's Weird. Have a wonderful weekend wherever you are. God bless, love and light, and don't forget, 12canchangetheworld.org.
For to all, you see, I never really get applause like that. Good afternoon, welcome to Siobhan's Alternative 2012 show. It's Glastonbury, mostly. It's Wednesday the 23rd of the 9th month of 2009. So if it isn't a Wednesday, you're not listening to me live. It'll be a repeat, but never mind, I'm sure it'll work. Good afternoon. And the temperature in the studio is 21.6 degrees centigrade, and the atomic clock's still working. The dragons have to run very fast to keep the clock going, you see. It's what they're for. So thank you for joining me. What have we got for you today? Oh, going to have a bit of rock, various things. Actually, I haven't a clue, really. And we'll sort it out as we go, as usual. And, the dragons are saying, oh, get on with it, girls, I will. And I'm actually going to start with a bit of AC/DC, Highway to Hell. Don't know quite why, really, but it seems quite a good idea, so here we go.